Personally, I thought that Apple's Trashcan Mac Pro was generally a great machine, but I understand that the lack of expandability was a net loss for the form factor. Does that mean I should be more positive about the KF console? No! No! I don't think it does! Capturing heat so close to a heat source that is supposed to be cool sounds awful. Grease and oil are not ingredients in liquid cooling. This is just one story in a night of lawsuits, anniversaries, shutdowns, and wrap-ups. Join your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, as they discuss this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with, if you can believe it, the last show of 2020. It is episode number 849 for tonight, December the 27th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts. By myself in the studio, as I have been for most of this year since March, and joining me via the magic of Discord, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Welcome to my mess.
Hello, your mess looks fine. It's definitely a nerd cave.
It's a work in progress. I've thrown out 4 trash bags worth of just garbage.
You know, the folks that listen to us on the podcast feed, which I would always strongly encourage, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show at about 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. But for those that can't be here live, and I understand Sunday is a busy night for a lot of people, we do have the podcast, which has been going for a very long time, which you can check out on iTunes, Spotify, lots of, you know, popular podcast players out there. The podcast folks can't see what you're talking about, Dark Saga.
So you can
lie and say, "Oh, it's this. Everything is well curated.
I own my shit." And I know I have been lazy and sick for most of the year, and the shit piled up, and I have years of old cosplay stuff. I found 20-year-old cosplays a few weeks ago, Rob.
Oh my gosh!
I finally threw them out. My Leona costume. Okay, the cargo shorts I had for my Leona costume, I can now pull on by one leg over my hips. Yeah, so that says something.
I was going to say, don't ask me to show the rest of the studio here and what's happened to this outside, this little box that you see me in. Dark Soccer's throne has clean laundry on it. There's a monitor on the table where she usually has her laptop.
I've shown up to the show and have seen your laundry on it. So
it's a convenient place.
Girl, don't
place.
Even try me.
It's a convenient place.
but at any rate, I've only kept one of the old costumes, and that was my Jill costume because it was the first one I did when I moved to California. And I actually threw away Emmy, except I saved the striped shirt I had under it. It was actually an old Navy pajama shirt, and it's really warm.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept that. But like the wig, I didn't know about wig care back then very well. And that poor blue wig was like it was ready to go. I kept the hat, the ginormous white Tam that she wears.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was actually in really good shape. I mean, I paid $20 for it 20 years ago, so it had to be good. So, yeah, useful stuff, and I found a sewing kit.
Okay.
I also did get rid of Biken, because I can do a lot better.
I'm taking a look at our chat room, because, of course, while we tape live, you can participate along in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. And SSGO100 Matt says, rooms full of mess and piled up stuff, much like many folks' Animal Crossing homes.
And to answer Phoenix7726, who says, I found cosplay as old as OLR. No, it's older. It's under sedation age.
Oh, but Grandpa okay. Died. Under sedation isn't around anymore.
So to answer Ranchon, if I kept Tamari.
Travis is fine. He got an Xbox for Christmas. Just
Tamari costume is in another box. And actually, the kimono is way too big for me, but still in great shape. And I'm thinking about taking it in and repurposing it. It might end up as a certain Shinsengumi character who will remain unnamed.
All right. Well, let me also introduce, as I do every week, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi. Are you holding on to any old cosplay, Loki?
Do you have Sackboy? Don't you have Sackboy?
I threw that away.
Oh, it was taken tragic.
It was in the garage for a very long time, and I was just afraid that if I put my head in it, that there could be so many spiders.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I'm not going to risk it. I'm just going to throw it away. And
Spider
so
Boy. Yikes.
I did actually check it before I threw it away, but like it was just so dusty and stuff, and I was like, I'm never going to wear this again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I forgot about that Sackboy costume, but that was, now that you mention it, that was a legendary episode of OLR. Wasn't that like the 10th anniversary or something? Like, it was a landmark episode, maybe episode 500, I don't remember. But you dressed all, Dark Tetsuya, what episode was it? Or Misty? I need to ask the real experts of this show. But you actually came to the studio. I do remember it was at the house over, I don't want to give out addresses on the show. I guess I don't live there anymore. But the ranch.
No, it was the garage.
It was in the garage there. Yeah, yeah. And I remember it was in that studio.
You had the neighbor across the street whose house caught on fire.
Yes. Did I tell that story on OLR? I don't remember. I may not have.
I remember. I remember driving by and seeing the house gutted. And that's always what I remember.
Well, I can tell it now.
Drew knocking over the table.
I probably didn't want to tell it then because if I told it on air, it would have given away where I lived. But I don't live there anymore, so it doesn't matter. So this true story, the house across the street from me burned down one day. And I know that sounds really scary. And what's also really scary about it is that I was napping when it happened. I slept through the whole damn thing. And I woke up to the sounds of my roommate, Johnny, came home. And he was like, Rob, are you here? Rob. And I'm like, what? Are you okay? And he goes, he just gives me this look like, he goes, look outside. And I like peek through the mini blinds and I just see all these lights and I see the house on smoke. I'm like, what the fuck? And yeah, the house across the street burned down. And it was one of those things where they had a lot of devices and power cords that were going into their garage as if they were potentially making some things in the garage, allegedly. And that's, I'm going to leave it at that. That was an interesting experience. So we moved.
It's either meth or porn.
We moved. So yeah,
we should make that a new game show, meth or porn.
Yeah, who knows what was going on in that house. So yeah, I probably didn't tell that story on air at the time because, you know, if I said, oh, the house across the street from me burned down, then people would figure out exactly where I live. I don't live there anymore, so it's fine. Act Deft in chat says they blazed it. They sure did. I don't like to make fun of it because somebody's house burned down, but at the same time, if it was what we all suspect it was, then how bad do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, if you can't make a joke about it, what can you do, right? So, yes. So that was. I don't know how we got on this subject from welcome to OLR. Hope you all had a great holiday. Yes. Yes.
Hey, I have a new breaking thing is that a gaming magazine, GAYMING, has highlighted Rock'em Sakura of San Francisco.
Oh, fun. Well, they've got their...
who is a gaming queen.
They have their award show, which I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. Sorry, but I know they nominated a bunch of stuff. OLR not nominated, but that's okay.
How very dare they?
That's all right. but no, there was a lot of good stuff that was nominated there. I remember seeing it across the Twitter stuff, and I was thinking, like, I guess... Because there was talk about doing that show in person at one point. Obviously, even though I think it's in February, I think that talk is still off the table. I don't think people can really plan on in-person events until at least summer. And even then, there's going to be footnotes, asterisks, and things of that nature. But So anyway, Phoenix 7726 in chat says, wait, is OLR the new Night Vale? I don't know. All right. We'd probably have more listeners if we were. All right, let's get it. We are a video game podcast.
We love all of our listeners.
We do. And we hope you all had a good holiday. I know Hanukkah ended quite some time ago, but Christmas Christmas was this past week, which I know a lot of people celebrate. So I hope you all had a good Christmas that we're celebrating that. Kwanzaa goes for 7 days, right? So we're in that. It starts the day after Christmas. So we're in the midst of that. And then Festivus for the rest of us. I know I saw some posts on that, December 23rd.
And if you're Satanist, Sol Invictus.
Oh, right. Or Paganist would have Solstice.
Yule.
Or Yule, yes.
That Yule too. Or the Solstice. But may you have an unconquerable Sol Invictus.
DJ Rama S in chat says 6 days. My bad, 6 days.
For Kwanzaa.
Yes, for Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's get into video game news and stuff going on in the gaming world, which, considering it is a holiday week, like, usually this would be the night of nothing but off topic because there's not a lot happening in the industry, but it's...
And we can do that.
and we damn well might. Challenge us. Try us. No, but we do have quite a bit of gaming news. There's still less. I noticed we have kind of a shorter show roll than we usually do just because less did happen. But I honestly feel like most years we're sitting here this week going, we ain't found shit, right? Like, there isn't a lot going on in gaming. But this week has been pretty busy, all things considered. And it starts with something I think we all saw coming. Darksoccer, right? And Loki going to talk about this one. Darksoccer, why did you start us off? What happened?
Well, CD Projekt Red, you know, the ones who are responsible for that clusterfuck that is Cyberpunk 2077, they are seeing some lawsuits because they basically were considered to mislead the public. Some of the class action lawsuits are being brought forward. Actually, one of them is brought on behalf of Andrew Tramp, who is one of the investors by the Rosen Law Firm, alleging that CDPR willfully neglected to inform investors of the nature of how buggy the game was and that the company downplayed other issues surrounding the game prior to release. They were saying that their public statements that were made prior to release, and this is a quote, were materially false and or misleading because they misrepresented facts and the company failed to disclose that Cyberpunk 2077 was virtually unplayable on current generation Xbox or PlayStation systems due to an enormous amount of bugs. And I'm going to read the comments from the CDPR executives. This is another quote. After three delays, we as the management board were too focused on releasing the game. We underestimated the scale and complexity of the issues. We ignored the signals about the need for additional time to refine the game on the base last-gen consoles. It was the wrong approach and against our business philosophy. On top of that, during the campaign, we showed the game mostly on PCs. So they're basically like, yeah, we were shitty. There's another lawsuit from the Shaw Law Firm, seeking class action status for violations. They list the ones for the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. And Rule 10b-5 promulgated thereunder, blah, blah, blah. It's more having to do with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, basically laying out the same evidence that was presented by the Rosen Law Firm, citing the bugs and near unplayable status of the game for the earlier consoles. Their quote, based on these facts, the company's public statements were false and materially misleading throughout the class period. When the market learned the truth about CD Projekt, investors suffered damages. Yeah, and there was a hotfix that was released basically to address bugs and performance issues. There's another one that was released this week, or I guess by this week, I mean it's last week, to fix the save data corruption for PC. And it's looking like there's going to be other fixes, but I'm wondering if it's going to be too little too late for what's going to be on the table. Because, I mean, there are people who can't afford to go right out and buy the new console right when it comes out. And they'd like to be able to enjoy the game. The game is advertised as supposed to be available and playable on those earlier consoles.
Right. What's interesting, though, and, you know, we'll talk a little later in the show as well, because I think Loki has a piece on, like, how the game is actually doing right now. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. But I think what's important to note in what you just outlined there with what's going on in the two different class actions there is that this is an investor piece. So this is what this isn't. And I think where people kind of thought it would go based on some prior class actions that have happened in the past is that at least in what Darksoccer is talking about now, the gears they're turning now, this is not gamer upset at the product they bought. That is not what this is.
This is
a lawsuit for investors because, yeah, the goal of a company is to make money for investors, right? Capitalism, woohoo, whatever. But that is what it is. And so go ahead.
SSJ100 Matt actually did sum it up very perfectly, and I quote, "So the investors are pretty much suing to reclaim whatever they lost from the stocks they owned in it."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, in a nutshell.
Or that basically by
perception of money lost.
Perception of money lost by having these various refunds that are going on and by not releasing, by kind of hiding what you did on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, you affected basically the bottom line, the sales. So that is, I think, very interesting to note
that they care about.
This is coming from the investor standpoint because I feel like with that playing into it, the result of this whole thing could have implications in our industry further down, I think.
It could.
Too early to say, but you know everybody in gaming right now, whether you love Cyberpunk, whether you hate it, whether you don't care, wherever you're at on that you know spectrum, everybody's looking at this because what happens here, I think, will have an impact on how games are marketed, hyped, and so on in the future. Again, this is very, I think what's happening here is very different from what happened with No Man's Sky, which was the product not of a publicly traded company, by the way, and was more rooted in some PR blunders.
I don't go out and buy new games anymore.
I think a lot of us are at that point, to be quite honest. Anyway,
I don't get excited anymore.
Loki, I know this story has been on your radar this week as well. I don't know if there's anything you want to add or anything from your perspective.
No, not really. I mean, it's pretty much it. It's just, you know, investors feeling that they were misled. And usually if that happens, you get in trouble with the board or, you know, you have to answer to that. So kind of just more of what we were talking about last week, how probably leadership's going to be held accountable for that. And someone may get let go. You never know. But that's kind of just more coming out of this.
I think you're absolutely right on that. Let's see. Questbuster in chat says CD Projekt stock has lost nearly half its value in the past few months. It lost around 20% around the Cyberpunk 2077 fiasco. And I think that's an important thing to point out is because, again, it doesn't really matter how you feel about the game personally, because I also see people in chat that are saying, you know, ZenMonkey11 says people will be able to play the game on any platform by March. No worries. Questbuster says it's not unplayable on a PS4. I finished it, but it could definitely have used more time in the oven and not everyone will want to deal with the bugs. And again, this isn't about like trying to take a dump on the game or whatever, like, or pour, you know, gasoline on a fire that's already going. This is more like just facing kind of the reality of no matter how you personally feel about the game, because the refund mechanism got triggered, because these headlines about Sony pulls a game from digital sale, you know, whether that was really something that Sony did about the quality or whether that was a response to Sony did because of something CD Projekt Red's leadership did, saying, go to Sony.
Yeah, right, because they told them to go to Sony, but they didn't tell Sony that they were doing that. So that's why they pulled it from the shop.
And that, again, is a problem of leadership. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Again, you have a problem of leadership. And ultimately, what got impacted? The stock value. And the you know, whether the refunds were as big as we think they are or not, and that whole thing, it doesn't matter. The stock value plummeted because of all of the bad press. Because Sony pulling your game from the store is not a great headline, even if quality didn't have anything to do with it. Because believe me, and believe you, because you've seen it too, there's a lot of shit on the PlayStation 4 marketplace. There is some garbage on the PlayStation 4 marketplace and the Xbox marketplace and any cell phone marketplace and Steam. You name it. It's got garbage. So quality is not the problem, ultimately. I know that sounds weird to say.
But the thing is that when the garbage is something that's expected to be the utter opposite of garbage, you know, it's just really bothersome. You know, this whole situation is very bothersome. And I do want to see them held to the fire over it a lot more, just because I think that we need to stop this whole thing of having these half-baked games come out.
Yeah.
You know, if we have, you know, people putting the same care into like what they would have done for a cartridge-based game in the past, because you can't patch a cartridge.
That's true.
I guess if you had
the average gamer does not patch a cartridge back in the NES days. Yes.
Unless you were getting, you know, ROM hacks and translated ROMs.
Yeah.
I digress. It's really just a shame, and it's something that we need to hold these companies accountable for, you know.
I was just saying, I think ultimately, and just following what I said last week, I think how this ends, one or both CEOs will be done, and that's how this ends. There's no other outcome, I think, that could satisfy the investors at this point. And that's that.
I think they're still going to try to play this off.
Of course. But it won't matter.
And I kind of half hope that they do. And this is just more of me now being a little bit vindictive about it. But if they try to play it off more, keep trying to do the same thing, and then fail after that, like burn harder, then I think that's really going to get the message across. And I mean, I don't want to bring politics into it, but we're also seeing that it's been just this ongoing thing in general in the public of offer this promise, offer this, say this, say that, and then not being able to pull through or doing the exact opposite. And now, you know, there's consequences to pay. And I really want to start seeing these consequences I want to see them being held to the consequence.
Yeah. I definitely want to see other CEOs looking at this situation going like, ooh, better make sure that doesn't happen here.
I want them all to shit their pants and remember who pays their bills.
That's another way to put it.
If I can be blunt about it, I will.
Let me ask this question before we get into our gaming weeks. And it's kind of a follow-up to something that came up on Bobby Blackwell's show tonight. Because, of course, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, he's on live before us here at the Voice of Geeks Network. Now, Bobby was talking about some of his highlights from the year of various sorts. I won't spoil everything. I won't talk about categories and stuff. But one game that he talked a little bit about was Half-Life Alyx. And I thought it was kind of interesting because he said Half-Life Alyx, you know, and this is one way you can look at it. Absolutely. Half-Life Alyx is basically Half-Life 3. This is it. This is Half-Life 3. This is the game that folks have been waiting for. This is Half-Life 3. But they knew they could never live up to the hype that everybody had in their minds built up for Half-Life 3, especially when you add that additional twist or challenge of the fact that it is VR only based, which limits your audience and all that stuff. Because they knew they could never really live up to that Half-Life 3 hype, instead they tailored the message and made it Half-Life Alyx. And he kind of made a little joke in there about how Cyberpunk, you know, didn't think to do the same thing or something along those lines. And it did kind of, you know, even though I think he just kind of said it as a one-off comment, it did kind of make me think, huh, you know, yeah, in many ways, what happened with Cyberpunk was kind of a victim of its own hype machine. Like, what if they either A, had just announced the game a lot later, which maybe the industry wouldn't really allow them to do. Or B, just said, you know what, Cyberpunk 2077, unfortunately, it just wasn't meeting our expectations, so we've decided can it. But guess what we have coming out for the PlayStation 5, PC, and Xbox Series X? No mention of prior consoles. We've got this game, Cyber Intruder 2078 is coming, and it's going to be awesome! I don't know. Loki, you're the only one out of us that's actually played the game, and I think you've enjoyed the game. What did they set themselves up to fail with the hype, or what?
I don't know if they... I mean, it was a pretty hyped game. I just think they had difficulty with releasing on so many platforms at once. I mean, I knew that everything nowadays that gets released is a little bit buggy, but this was like kind of an extraordinary case of bugginess. I mean, mm-hmm. a Bethesda level of bugginess, if you will, probably even a little bit beyond that. It just, it obviously needed more time. It'll get better as it goes along, but it's just, this is just the trend in gaming nowadays that companies release these half-finished products to meet a deadline, and then they keep promising that they're going to patch it after the fact or keep fixing it or adding on to it. We'll just have to see if it actually happens.
And some more comments from chat that I think are really good and worth reading here. SSG100 Matt says, Cyberpunk had trouble living up to the hype, much like No Man's Sky did at first. Hopefully they can turn it around like No Man's Sky did. I imagine they will. I also imagine they will. I don't think they have a choice at this point. But I think that was probably always in their long game plan, because we know there's Series X and PlayStation 5 versions that are still coming, like specific to those, not running on backwards compatibility. And of course they've got DLC in the works and things like that. So there's going to be opportunities for them to relaunch the game with a Game of the Year edition. I mean, look at the playbook for Witcher 3. Right? That game has been selling for years and years and years, and they have a long game on how they're going to continue to sell the game.
And it's on Steam sale right now, by the way.
Of course.
The winter sale.
Dark
of which I've bought some games.
And this is really important, too. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, to me, Cyberpunk 2077 at least lived up to the hype. I'm probably close to 60 hours in, and I can't get enough. I just absolutely love the setting. And I think that's something important for us to keep in mind as we're talking about all of this, is that the problem really is that there's a lot of people out there looking at this going, what the hell's the problem? Like, the game is fine. But then there's other people sitting out there on their base PlayStation 4s, or maybe that don't buy Bethesda games in the past or buy other buggy games, that are looking at this going, what the hell is this? I waited 8 years for this? And so there's a real disparity there between the groups of and where people's expectations were at. And I think that's why the gaming industry is going to really have a conversation after this fact about, you know, where's the appropriate place to put expectations? I think that'll be very interesting. I don't know. Anything else you guys want to add to that? All right.
No, I knocked over my webcam.
You knocked over your way. Woo! We're going on a ride. All right.
Just because I'm screwing with crap on my desk.
All right.
I'm a professional.
Should I hide that until you fix it there? Tell me.
Nah, I don't care.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Mish in chat, one more comment here. People are so ready to give up the moment shit don't pan out the way they want because they're so instant gratification. Let me ask one more
question.
Ain't
that the truth?
One more question that came to mind since, you know, we've been saying Bethesda gets away with it. Bethesda and all this stuff. Well, sometimes they get away with it. I don't know. The reception of Fallout 76, I don't think it was exactly what they were looking for. But something...
Oh, no, they got nailed for that one.
Well, here's something very important. Bethesda is no longer... ZeniMax is no longer... You know, who owned Bethesda is no longer an independent thing. ZeniMax is part of Microsoft. Microsoft just... had the audacity, and I mean that in a good way, actually. Microsoft had the audacity to bump back their biggest first-party title that was supposed to be the highlight of Xbox Series X and S, Halo Infinite, of course. They just bumped that back an entire year, if not maybe more at this point, because it wasn't living up to the quality they expected. Could that be the future of Bethesda now that they are a Microsoft property? What do y'all think of that? Are our joke days of Bethesda done because they're going to maybe have a different standard now that you know, different people are at the helm of the organization, namely
we
Phil Spencer.
We will see, but I think we'll possibly. So it would have, I would imagine that if they're building a brand new game, like a new, obviously the new Elder Scrolls game in Starfield, it's probably going to be running on a completely new engine. I would hope. I hope they're not repurposing the old engine for that. So that, I think that was a lot of the problems that they had, especially with like Fallout 76, is they're using like some of the original engine that they were running, you know, Oblivion or even, I think, stuff even older than Oblivion on. And it's just kind of adding to it.
Yeah.
And repurposing it for things it was never meant to do. And so you were running into like bugs that have been in place since those early games. And so I would hope that they're going to start fresh with a new engine to build these new games, because I can't see how these older engines would support something that massive and that detailed.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will be behind us. We'll see, though, when it comes out, because, I mean, I don't know.
All right, let me read a few more comments from chat. DJ Rama S says, you know, CD Projekt Red basically abandoned Xbox One, PlayStation 4 platforms for next gen. That and upper management demanding a release. It is what it is. And, you know, Rama, I think a lot that played into that is that there was probably so many pre-orders on that platform that, and I think this is what the issue really ultimately boils down to, is that CD Projekt Red probably knew they should walk away from those platforms and focus on PC and the next gen because things had come so far along in the 8 years. But somewhere along the way, somebody in that boardroom said, but we have X number of pre-orders on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. If we cancel that, we lose all that. And so somebody made the decision, and here's the problem. Somebody made the decision, well, we can't have that, release it anyway.
It was all
problem.
Down to money.
Yes.
All right. I mean, just one last little thing.
Yeah.
As much as we like to say that some of these big companies, they care about the gamers, they want us to have fun, they want us to have a good quality product. For a lot of them, it's all about the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
How do I profit off of this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
A few more comments here. I want to read a comment from Mimsy94, who says, I don't know if my view on games helps. Hey, every gamer has a voice. All are welcome. But I'm easily pleased with most games, and Cyberpunk is a great game to play, in my opinion. But I can only play the playthroughs since I can't own any of the gaming systems. But fantastic to watch the playthroughs. Well, don't forget, you know, even if you don't have the newest and greatest systems, Stadia is trying to target folks like you. And that, you know, is another way that, you know, a lot of people are enjoying Cyberpunk is through that, where you don't necessarily
even realize I could get it on Stadia.
Yeah, right? Like, again, and we kind of got into this last week or the week before, is like Stadia's best use case just happened and Google had nothing to do with it. Like, it's like this literally fell in their fucking lap, and it's a great thing for them.
I got my free Stadia. It arrived
there,
like, why the hell not should I not try it on that? I mean, I just got a bunch of games actually because they did a bunch of freebies if you have Stadia Pro.
And then I want to get one more comment here from Bobby Black Wolf, because this kind of speaks to all the, you know, buggy and open world and things we were talking about before, who says, the issue is that a lot of bugs are really the byproduct of a huge open world game. Yes, QA can find a lot of things, but there will always be stuff found by players once you let something out. And I'm going to say something very blunt. Why not? It's the holidays. Uncle Rob's going to tell it like it is.
Say it blunt, don't smoke it.
This is how you can tell the difference between a podcast, a news organization, a Twitter account, a group. This is how you can tell the difference. A group that is saying, didn't they test this game? What's happening in QA? What are they doing there? Does CD Projekt Red even have a QA? The people that are saying that haven't been following this industry a very long time or don't have insight into this industry. Because you'll notice that phrase hasn't left any of our mouths. And most of you in chat either. None of you have been blaming QA on this. Because I think, you know, those of us that have been, you know, participating at this table for a while now know this isn't the fault of QA. Of course there's a QA department. Of course QA told him it was wrong. Go back to what I just said in this whole thing, is that They knew they had pre-orders on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. QA tells them, it's broken. Boss in boardroom says, doesn't matter, release it anyway. And that's a story that happens a lot.
I liken that to like some of those sort of sci-fi movies about, you know, oh, we've done this like magic food item, but it will give 0.1% of people rabies. I'm just throwing that out there. And they release it anyway. And then you have a rabid population and then the army has to go in and fight them. And then Will Smith saves the day.
Yes.
They're just rabid fans of the product now.
All right. And then Bobby had another follow-up comment here. Oh, yes, because I like this. I like this little saying here. Bobby says, one of my sayings in software development is that the moment you make something idiot-proof, the world will just build a better idiot. I kind of think that goes hand in hand with the saying, hacker's going to hack, right? Because that kind of goes, because when we talk about like Oblivion and if it doesn't work, somebody else is going to fix it. And the whole thing, people will figure out ways to work around something like that. Kind of, in some ways, goes hand in hand with that.
No, like I did not
call hackers idiots, for the record. I'm just saying there are comparisons between those two sayings.
I just like the term that you can learn to fail in new and exciting ways.
There is that, too.
Yes.
All right. This saga is far from done, so I'm sorry if you didn't want to hear anything about Cyberpunk. Too bad, because this story is not going to be done. But think of it this way. This is, again, going to have an impact on the industry. What happens here? Others are watching. So let's see where this path leads us. I think it's interesting. And what's interesting, I was very like, eh, on Cyberpunk. Like, I'm just like, there are hundreds, thousands of games that release in a calendar year. I don't have time to play everything. So I was like, I'll get to Cyberpunk when they have the game of the year edition with all the DLC included and all that stuff. I'll get to it then. That's still where my mind is at.
Those game, you know, a game like that too much. I'm still waiting for Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And there's my Mass Effect remaster.
Yeah. But I can also still look at it and go, but this shit's fascinating. What's going down here legally, you know, and all that. All right. Anyway, let's get into our gaming weeks and the types of games that we have been playing this week, whether it was Cyberpunk or not. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I played Animal Crossing.
Woohoo.
Because what else do I do? I play Animal Crossing. We had another good run on Poppin' Twinbee. I fucking love Poppin' Twinbee. It's like one of my favorite old Super Famicom games. And I've had ROMs of it and everything, so I really, really, really have been playing a decent bit of Poppin' Twinbee. But I think I've been doing it under Dan's account by accident. We actually are talking about getting another pinball. We've kind of floated around if we're going to get a Black Knight Sword of Rage. Believe it or not, we have the animated topper for Black Knight Sword of Rage without owning the table. Because we bought it for like 500 and something bucks, and now I don't think you can find them for cheaper than like 150. Why did I say 150? 1,500?
I was like,
I'm getting my words
that doesn't sound like a deal, Jamie. Okay.
And also, my World Cup soccer is going to be coming home. Dan's buddy Brian has been doing some work to it, so I'll get to play my baby again because I love my World Cup soccer pinball. Other than that,
I want to come over and play pinball.
Well,
when I get
in a week,
when I get the jab.
Actually, Rob, if you're getting regularly tested, I'll submit another test, and if everyone's clear, you can come over and play pinball.
You need to send me the info on your thing you use, because I always have to go get my my nose violated to get it done.
Well, mine is a nose violation, but I get to violate myself.
We'll talk offline. We'll talk offline.
Yeah, we'll talk offline. Basically, my work doesn't do Quest, so at any rate. Okay, Mimsy, you and I are going to have to talk because you're one of my pinball peoples now. So my house is full of pinball. But at any rate, I've got a few things on my downloads now. I actually bought some stuff off my Steam wish list thanks to the sale. So I just picked up Gensho Night Festival, which is a little platformer that just looked like it was super fun. And I'm also, I got What Became of Edith Finch on Switch, so I'm going to be playing through it there.
It's a good game. It's a really good game.
I'm also getting Umehara Kawase, which is another kind of interesting platformer of a girl with a grappling hook. I'm still debating getting Resident Evil 3, but for right now, there's just enough games out that I'm also picking up right now The Suicide of Rachel Foster, because I love those narrative games. You know, I've really kind of gotten out of the kind of open world thing, unless it's like more of a fantasy environment. I do of course like Mass Effect. That's kind of like my speed of game. Mm-hmm. But I'm really, really loving the narrative games, you know, where it may not seem like a game, you know, but it's got a story and it's really something that one can get into.
Oh, those are, I'm about to talk about one, and I think it would be one that you'd be into for sure. I'll get into it in a moment here, but those are absolutely games. They're, you know, we've had this discussion before about the walking simulator and all that, but, if you are to call the Black Mirror episode on Netflix a game, which the name escapes me right now, whatever the name of that game was in the episode.
Bandersnatch.
Thank you, Bandersnatch. If that's a game, then these are certainly games. You know, there's lots of choice and you know, things to go back and revisit. And I guess I'll get into it in a minute. But I don't like when people try to dismiss the narrative games. I really don't. Like, they're games. They're games of a different type. So what? Look at Atari 2600 games. It was usually push button, go ping. That's it. There's like the most basic thing. You know, Pong, beep, boop, beep, boop. If that's a game, then why can't a narrative experience be a game? Anyway.
Yeah. But at any rate, you know, I have a bunch of stuff that I just really want to sit down. Like, I have another game called When the Past Was Around that I want to sit and play. I finally, though, bought, I have Watam now that it's on Steam.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to be streaming Hive Swap probably in the next couple of weeks. So there's stuff on my plate with plans to actually do stuff. It's just right now the end of the year business. But I am going to be streaming Hive Swap Act 2 because in my heart of hearts, I am still a Homestuck.
All right. Well, let's move on and go to Loki. How was your gaming week?
I tried working on my game most of the week, so I've been still trying to code something to do anime tiles. I was trying to do it the right way, and it's not working.
Which
I tried to.
Just a heads up, if you've been out for a few weeks, we now know that Loki's game is a spiritual successor of sorts called To Pixel Poops on the NES. Him and YYR had a big press announcement a couple weeks ago. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Just I've been working to catch up the people who might be behind.
Right. So I've been working on that. So I'm doing what, like, Plan C now, in which is going to be basically using techniques that I already use to switch tiles out for when I do like the actual pooping in the game. So that works, I know. So it's just not the most elegant way I'd like to do it, but I'm gonna try it and see if it works and how the performance is. And so this is really my last attempt to get it to work, because otherwise I've spent way too long on trying to get it to work. I do want it to work because it looks nice when it does work. It's just it just takes a lot to get it to work. So that's what I'm finishing up hopefully this week. And then I would like to have a demo available at some time soon. I would hopefully like to get it done before the end of the year, but we'll see. But that would be kind of cool if I could do that. But actual game playing, so I did play more Minecraft this week. I spent an unreasonably long amount of time making an automated bee farm. Yes, with a bee statue over the top. So you can get like honey blocks or honeycomb blocks and honey bottles. So it's an automated bee farm. They go in there and they make honey for you, and it just automatically collects it. So that was kind of fun. It was a relaxing thing to do. And then my kids have been trying to get me to play more stuff with them with Minecraft. So I've been doing some stuff. My kid will make a level, and then wants to do like a little scenario, and so we did that for a few hours. So it's been mainly Minecraft this week. A little bit of Orna, as I've been traveling around, just taking over areas and stuff like that. I wish I could take over more areas, like just like out, like if I could see it, I should be able to take over it. But I know there's only a certain radius that you can do that, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But you know, just been playing a bit more of that. Still not leveling up very fast at all. I'm still like 182. And
the leveling curve gets like exponential. It's kind of like Pokemon Go in that regard. Like it, you know, even though we're talking about, oh, we're level 180, we're level 100, it doesn't take that long. You know, if you're a little bit dedicated to get to three digit levels, but then once you start hitting about level 180, the XP curve goes up exponentially, and it takes longer and longer for each level, for sure.
And you don't get new enemies until I think
every 25 levels, so you'll get them at
200, so it's gonna be a while. So yeah, it's just been kind of grinding at that a little bit, and that's about it. I didn't play any more Cyberpunk yet, although I probably will at some point, and I need to definitely go back to my Xbox Series X because it's sitting here collecting dust. But yeah, so eventually get to that stuff. But I mean, there's not, I can't think of any games in 2021 that I'm necessarily anticipating yet. So I've got time.
Okay. My gaming week. So speaking of GPS based games, I've been playing a lot of Ingress this past week. I kind of took a break for a few weeks, and maybe it's one of those things where like taking a break was good, 'cause it kind of like got me motivated again, and I hit maximum level in the game for the second time. So I got all the way to level 16, which is max level, for the second time. And so of course I pushed the button to restart for a third time. So, and I worked pretty fast to get right back up to level 8, because you have to be level 8 in the game to use the highest gear. So I kind of already had things planned out in my head. I was like, because they have these things called apexes now, which are sold in the shop, but you get them free during events and things like that. So I had like 10 or 11 of them built up. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go downtown. I'm going to go to this cemetery. I'm going to just microfield the whole thing fast and burn an apex when I do it. And that's what I did. And I was back to level 8 within maybe 2 hours of gameplay. So I just, you know, thinking my strategy through on how I was going to do it, and it worked out. So that was my big GPS game nerd conquer thing of the week. But I find that it's been kind of a fun thing to do, because it gets me out of the house. I can sit in my car, listen to podcasts or music or whatever, do some driving, so at least I feel like I'm moving and it's safe. I'm in my little protected bubble, literal iron bubble that's on the road, and playing my little game and still getting to see things. So that's kind of, I think, why I've been kind of into it right now. So other things that I've been up to, the game I was talking about with Dark Sakura. So I played a new game this week because of Xbox Game Pass. I started playing a game called Tell Me Why, which came out, I think, back in September. It's an Xbox Game Studios game. Yeah, I finally got around to it. You know, just was like, oh, I should play that. I was kind of looking for something new to play, and I'd heard a lot of things about it. A lot of people on Twitter had spoken very favoritively of it, and so I started playing it. It is a narrative-based game. It's a very story-heavy-based game. It involves twins, and they have these kind of like special powers where they can kind of talk to each other without actually talking to each other. Like, you know, that some people kind of perceive about twins, or maybe that really is a thing. I don't know. But that kind of ends up being kind of central to the plot. I don't want to get too much into the plot, because I just kind of like started it right off the bat, and I was really like taken aback. I was like, whoa, I didn't know this game was that fucking dark that quickly. Like, it's kind of like a, I don't know if I want to say scary, but it's like, oh, this is heavy stuff. I think heavy stuff, I think, is a good way to say it. And it's kind of starts off right that way. And, you know, you just kind of then, of course, the story is just kind of like peeling back the layers of an onion. It gets deeper and deeper, and you kind of start to learn about the character. What was going on here? What was this thing? Was she good? Was she not good? There's just all these weird things going on. So, unsettling is a good way to put it, too. Darksoccer, I do think a game like this would be up your alley. There's been a lot of talk of this game as well. You may have heard of this game because it focuses. There's a lot of the one of the twins is a trans man. So there's a lot of talk about transgender in the game, because it does end up it's kind of a, how do I say this without it's a plot device but not in poor taste. Like, they actually, the trans man is voiced by a trans man actor. They had consultants on the game to make sure they got it right. But that whole experience is kind of integral to the plot. So I thought it was it's an interesting way to kind of, I found it was really fascinating because since you are playing some of the game as, and now I can't remember the characters' names. There's Allison and Tyler.
Bitch just bought it.
Allison and Tyler. That's it. So Tyler is trans. And that's not really a spoiler. You find that out very, 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 very early on within the first 10 minutes, probably. Tyler is a trans man. And since you are forced to play some of the game as Tyler, you get exposed to some of those awkward experiences where, and there was a really, like, I'll just say it was a flat out, like, awkward thing that happened, is that you meet one of the villagers who knew you as a child when, you know, before transitioning and all that. And there's that very awkward conversation that happens about, you know, where the guy is kind of putting his foot in his mouth. And it's one of those, like,
yeah,
well, you got to forgive me because I'm older and we can't follow all your new way. You know, that whole thing. So it was weird. Yes. But
I'm ready to be pissed off.
But
so
then I thought,
that's,
well,
good.
But you know what?
No, I mean, not pissed off at the game, but pissed off in game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it. But I thought it was interesting because that was definitely a way to illustrate an experience through the art of video games without necessarily having to be beat over the head with a shoe with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, by even as awkward as that exchange was, I think it illustrated a very real thing that I think a lot of trans people have been trying to say. This is why we have challenges. This is some of the BS that we go through. And they were really able to illustrate that through the game. And I thought that was really neat. So yeah, I think the game is pretty cool. It's in three parts and I'm like, I don't know how far I am because I refuse to read spoilers on it. So I would guess I've got to be close to the end of the first part because each part's only supposed to be like 2 or 3 hours. And I swear to God, I feel like I've been playing part one for 3 hours, but I'm also the type that's like, I have to check every item and read everything and solve every puzzle. So maybe I'm just
all
slow.
The things.
So yeah. Anyway, yeah, yeah. So, I thought that was a neat game and just, but I will say, and I'll warn you the way I wasn't warned, the subject matter is a lot darker than I was anticipating. And that's nothing to do with the trans part of it. It just happens to be that the character is, you know, a trans man and his twin sister. That's just another element of the story. So, yeah, it was, I want to finish more before I absolutely say I recommend it or I don't recommend it. But so far I'm feeling, so far I've enjoyed the first 2-3 hours I've played. So I feel like that's a leaning towards a positive recommendation. So,
well, I just bought it. So
there you go.
I mean, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to play it and I'm probably going to get yelled at, but I bought it.
There you go.
Finances.
Oh, very good point. Sia Tiberi in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says it also has a lot about indigenous cultures in this fictional area of Alaska. You're right. It gets into some of that as well. I don't think I'm like heavy maybe into some of those storylines and things yet, but I have noticed that for sure. There's like decorations and things in the house that they come across and stuff like that. So I'm curious to see more of how that kind of unfolds and develops. So
yeah.
So there's that. If my shirt that I'm wearing on Twitch with Fennekin on it is any indication, of course, I've been continuing to play Pokemon Sword and Shield, which Fennekin isn't in. But I've been working on my decks in those games, and I'm up past 300. I'm up to like 320-something, I think, in my Sword and Shield deck. So I'm getting closer. I did a lot of trades with Shane this past week. So, like, I got the Zacian in my decks, and I got the thing, like, you have to trade Machomp to get Machoke, or did I get that backwards? But y'all know what I mean. You know, you have to trade certain things. So we did some of that, and that was like, I had to check off like 12, 13 things off the list there. So that was,
jeez,
that was good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Yeah, I've been enjoying Pokemon.
I don't think I'm going to get back into Pokemon anytime soon.
You know what? It just, like, for me, it just fucking clicked one day. And I think I was talking about Pokemon Go and Pokemon Home and all of that, just suddenly made me go, well, you know what, guys? I'm going to catch them all. I'm going to finally do it. I'm going to go catch them all. And it's a thing to do now that, you know, quarantine and COVID and all that crap's going on. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else in my game of the week. I feel like there's one other game. I played a little more Destiny 2. Still been playing that. Joined a clan of Twitter people because I guess our VOG network clan like officially got killed because of inactivity. Oops. So I joined a clan with Twitter people. And I don't remember what else notable that I did in that game yet. I think I still have to do a fire strike, and I'm nervous about being going in there to do all that thing. So there's that. All right. Let's see. We're going to get into... So that's it for my gaming week. Let's get into gaming news. First, before we get to gaming news, I actually have a couple like housekeeping things to talk about. Number one, and Bobby said this in chat, but I'll reemphasize it here during our little housekeeping segment, is that next week we will still be here during OLR. We're not going to like hold the show or anything, but I should point out that Awesome Games Done Quick, the big charity event, does start next Sunday. And VOG Network's own Bobby Blackwolf is now a part of that event. So for the second time, he's going to be one of the announcers during that event. And he went over the whole schedule on his show. And of course, in the moment, I can't remember everything. I know Devil May Cry 5 was one of the games in there. And then he had... did he get the King's Quest? I can't remember.
He says anything. Wednesday and Friday
Thank
night.
Thank you. Wednesday and Friday night. Sorry, when I'm put on the spot, I can't. I just go blank. But he's actually going to be doing some of the hosting, so that's exciting.
He says,
Thank you.
Devil May Cry 3, Yoshi's Island, and Yakuza 6.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you. Those are the games he's going to be hosting. So we'll be checking that out Wednesday and Friday night. That'll starts on Sunday. So check it out. Remember, it's about the charity. So if you're going to donate to try to get Bobby Blackwolf to read your shout out, and you can listen to his show for more details on how that works. Like I've learned that I can't say Mr. Smush donated $50 because the screeners don't know what Mr. Smush is. And they assume it's porn, which they have to do. They have to do. So I'll have to take a different approach next time. So
maybe you could do Mr. Smush the cat.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do is next time. Well, I shouldn't say this so openly because I'm trying to surprise Bobby, but I'll say, me and my cat, Mr. Smush, are watching, and I say, keep up the good work. And Mr. Smush says, meow, meow. And that maybe I'll
feed me.
Something like that, yeah.
There, right. My bowl is empty. Feed me. Business is the same thing, though.
So anyway.
She, for once, is not in here harassing me.
You can check that out. Bobby has more details on all of that. If you want some insight on how all that works, that's all on his show, The Bobby Blackwolf Show. So check that out during Awesome Games Done Quick. Another housekeeping thing. This kind of, because this is the last show of 2020, right? So next week, we're going to go into 2021.
Thank God.
And, you know, I was watching, a friend of mine was doing a Twitch stream, somebody who watches the stuff here at VOG Network. I'll say it was ActDeft. I was watching a stream of his. And, you know, kind of the subject came up about how this show's been going for 18 and a half years. That's a very long time. There's not a lot of shows that do something like that. And this has been a year that's
Guinness
really,
World Record.
This has been a year that's really challenged us in many ways, right? Like, you know that I pride this show on, you know, because people ask, like, how have you kept the show going on so long? How do you guys find the motivation for the show? And my answer's kind of always been, well, you know, Dark Soccer, Loki, myself, it's kind of our excuse to get together every week. We get together in person and we, you know, get to hang out. We do this little show and people listen and it's a good time. And I think we've kind of been riding that energy. But 2020 and all of its events have really kind of made us rethink some of that, because I've always kind of sat here and gone, we're not going to go to an all virtual show because that's every other podcast does that. We got a special thing. Lol, 2020 had other plans in store and we've gone to a virtual format. And I would say for the most part, it's worked. Now, this isn't me about to announce that like we're going to virtual forever or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I don't know. Nobody does, because we don't know where these roads are leading into 2021. We hope, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel and all that. But I think it's really cool that 2020 threw these curveballs at us and we were able to kind of rise up to that and keep this show going. And that, of course, that's not just me. That's huge thanks to Dark Sakura and Loki as well. I mean, Dark Sakura, shit, she might have had COVID in those early episodes. Like, not to make light of it, but you documented it plenty.
Test says I didn't, but then again, they're also like, oh, and half of the people don't develop antibodies and blah, 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 blah. Like, thanks, bitch.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and then obviously...
If I had it, I had it twice, or it was really pneumonia.
And we know one of the guests we bring on this show all the time, Shane, had COVID. He said that on the show. It's not a secret. And I talked about that because I just went to visit him. I was basically exposed and had to get a test, and I was negative and all that. But, I mean, obviously that whole issue has hit close to home here at OLR, one way or another.
I've lost two friends this past year.
I think if we don't all know somebody directly, we know somebody who's been impacted. I can certainly say that for sure.
And I almost didn't get to see my dad before he died. I mean, yeah, he's in Alabama, 3,000 miles away. But when his test came back negative, one of the nurses pulled some strings for my sister and got him a private room and said that she and my mother, I mean, my mom and dad have been divorced since I was, you know, 9 months old. Mm-hmm. But my mom was in there too. And they let them in to have, 2 1-hour sessions. And the first session was when dad woke up enough to, they actually took him off the morphine long enough for him to see me on the phone and wave and try to say something. And then the next time I saw him on a phone stream, he was dead 3 hours later. So, and I almost didn't get that because of COVID, but you know, his test came back negative and they pulled some strings.
Well, thank gosh you got that at least. I mean, obviously that's a terrible scenario and I'm sorry that happened, but you know, at least there was that little light that like, at least you got a chance to, you know, communicate in one way or another. So
that is far more than a lot of people have gotten.
That's
like,
right.
One of my friends right now, her aunt had a stroke. And can't be seen by anybody.
Mm-hmm. That was my dad. That was my dad this summer. Had that.
Her aunt went nonverbal and half paralyzed.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no one who can be there with her and help her with her affairs or help with consent or anything. Yeah. So, you know, and all of these people who are like that one Karen that they had in that, what, CVS or something, arguing about not wearing her mask.
I can't.
Fuck those people.
I can't even watch those videos anymore. I just can't.
With something hard and sandpapery.
And my dad made a virtual full recovery, for the record. He got very lucky in that regard. So thank you.
I'm really happy about that.
Thank you, everybody who is thinking through that with me.
Your dad's a good guy.
Yeah.
Your dad is a super good guy. He does
have some lingering things. Like he clears his throat a lot more. I know it's a weird thing and he coughs. So we're always kind of like, is it the COVID? Is it COVID? But it's not. It's just some weird lingering thing that's kind of sitting there. You know what I mean? So anyway, let me get to some more positive vibes from our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, where SSJ100 Matt says, I would like to say thank you for all the VOG hosts for getting us through this crummy year of 2020. Well, thank you so much for saying that, because honestly, you know, I can't totally speak for Dark Sakura and Loki, but I know for me, the reverse is true for me. Like, you guys being here on Sunday night gives me and throughout the week on the podcast and all that, your feedback, emails, tweets, and all that, it gives me something to look forward to throughout this shithole of a year. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah. It gives me a sense of, at least I got this one thing I can look forward to, you know? Happy hour at Chili's? Nope, don't get that, but at least I've got happy hour at OLR, you know? So
exactly,
it's given me that. So thank you guys for that. I really...
You'll
really
give us
that.
Life.
For sure, for sure. Okay, let's get into the video game news we're really here for. But I just kind of wanted to acknowledge that, is that, like, despite the fact that we had a shitty year, we've had some curveballs, we did something I said we were never going to do. Not that that's ever happened on OLR before. and we made it, and we're okay. So, and big thanks to Dark Sakura and Loki for navigating these tricky waters, of course. I couldn't do it without you guys. Because people say, how have you gone for 18 years? And it's all of us. It's not just one of us. We've all done it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's
our thing, although I really do think maybe we should contact Guinness.
Maybe. It is perfectly normal. And this goes back to the original point I had been talking about with Act Deft. It is perfectly normal for shows to rotate hosts and have new people. And, you know, somebody gets burned out, so somebody new comes in. Or somebody else gets an opportunity, so somebody new comes in. Look at the Look at The View, for fuck's sake, which has probably been going about as long as this show. How many women have been on that show? A ton, right? And there's lots of podcasts out there where that's the case. But then, and I was telling Act Deft, we're the weird ones. We're the weird ones because we haven't changed in 18 and a half years. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Rotate right now. This chair spins.
Yes. Coming to you next week, your new co-host, Sobble, is going to be hosting the show.
Sobble.
Okay. Anyway, forget it. All right, let's move on. Let's get into video games. That's what we're here to talk about, the gaming community. Loki, get us into some news, please.
So we talked about one of the frustrations before with the PlayStation 5 was playing some of these games that you may own. You're not sure which version of the game you're actually loading up and playing. I think with like Spider-Man, Destiny, and stuff like that, there was issues where you had to download multiple copies and stuff like that. Well, now, thanks to an update, they have a brand new confirmed game version pop-up that happens when you load a multi-generation game that allows you to choose to play the PlayStation 4 version or to switch to the PlayStation 5 version, which definitely helps with the confusion there and why you would ever choose to play the PlayStation 4 version for whatever reason on a PlayStation 5. I don't know, but it does. They're giving you the option to do that, but at least it kind of eliminates that confusion that may happen with that. So that's kind of nice. I don't know if that necessarily prevents you from having to install multiple versions of a game, but if they have something similar, if they have something similar like that on the storefront, you know, to pick which version you want to install, that'd be pretty helpful as well.
PS5 owners, do you guys have insight on that? Like, did this fix the it installs both issue? Because even Bobby's kind of pointing out, I had a monologue about this issue. No Man's Sky defaulted to the PS4 version when I put the disc in. And yeah, of course, why do I want to play the old one? I mean, there might be a reason why you want to go back to the old one, maybe a feature, I don't know, something. But for the most part, people want to play the new one. That's true in the Xbox world, that's for sure.
It is still a work in progress. Like the article is talking about that, you know, it worked in Destiny 2, but you didn't see the pop-up in Watch Dogs Legions only until they went to manually install the upgraded PlayStation 5 version. Did they get the warning to play the, you know, PlayStation 5 version versus the PlayStation 4? So I guess, no, it does not, you know, address the multiple installs, but at least they'll know when you're playing the wrong version. They really should just have an option to download which version you want, or just, you know, hey, it's a PlayStation 5, you know, I'm upgrading to the PlayStation 5 version, you know, once that's available, and then, hey, would you like to uninstall the PlayStation 4 version? You know, that would be nice to have that option on there so that you're not filling up your very limited hard drive.
Bobby does point out No Man's Sky VR is only in the PlayStation 4 version. There's an excellent illustration. Sometimes the PlayStation 4 may have something that the PS5 doesn't have yet. Sorry, Jamie.
I guess that makes sense.
If you're moving files, you know, you have, do you want to replace this? Yeah. Do you want to copy?
Let me have the choice.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
But why doesn't the PlayStation 5 version have VR? I mean,
great question.
Well, do you want it to be pretty or do you want VR? I mean, pick one.
Well,
whatever.
PS5, we all know.
That's not necessarily
joking.
Just like, you know, with, you know, anything, even like with the PlayStation 4 Pro and stuff, they had options where you can pick, and I'm sure the same is with Spider-Man and stuff like that, where you can pick multiple options. So like you have, you know, the ray tracing 60 FPS, but your resolution slightly reduced, or you can do the full resolution of ray tracing, but your frame rate slightly reduced, or you can just turn off ray tracing and just have, you know, the 4K and, you know, 120 FPS or whatever the case may be with that. I don't remember the resolution on that. So why not just have that option there? It's like, hey, I see you're playing on VR. We're going to, you know, pipe this through a 1080 and
Hold on, because
Bobby said something about it. Yeah,
and this is important too. Is that and Bobby does say in chat, PSVR is not native to the PS5. It won't be native to the PS5 until 2022. They decided the market for PSVR wasn't there to put it on the PS5 natively at launch, but they still support it in backwards compatibility mode, right? Because we had those adapters that you could, you know, contact Sony and you get the adapters for free. So, and even before Bobby said that, I was going to say, we know PSVR is coming to the PlayStation 5. It's just not here yet without the adapter.
Just gonna forget what it is.
No, and here's the thing.
At some point.
Here's the thing. As much as you might kind of tease Sony about the whole weird VR issue, in a sense, I kind of get it. Because imagine if they had put out PSVR with the PlayStation 5. I mean, number one, PlayStation 5s are hard enough to get. Can you imagine, you know, now throw a VR unit into that, and how hard is that going to be to get with the production? And then on the other hand, okay, so you're going to buy a $500 console, and then on top of that, a $300, $400 headset, they're going to ask you to buy that day one? Hell no.
In a pandemic where people are unemployed.
Yeah.
Throw that out there too.
People aren't going to do it right out. There will be some, right, Bobby? There'll be some that would do it. But I think for the most part, the market in general is not ready for that kind of ask for another couple years. Because now when we come into 2022, it'll be, oh, okay, it's been 2 years since you've dropped your, you know, $500 on the console. Now we want to sell you this $300-$400 VR headset or what have you. That's the long game Sony's planning. There's no way they could have asked you for $500 twice this year.
No,
whatever
I get
it is. Yeah. So that's what it really is. Anyway, we kind of got off the path of what the story was about, but that's all right. All right.
So it's at least something right now, kind of a band-aid for the situation, but it's not perfect. I don't know if the way they have everything set up right now is perfect anyways, but obviously that's a problem that sort of goes away as time progresses.
PlayStation's also been very good about like huge firmware updates on their end. So like I don't have a PlayStation 5 right now. I probably will get one next year. In fact, knowing that VR will be a thing in 2 years, I should probably get my PlayStation next year, not wait 2 years to get it. I don't see myself being able to wait that long anyway. By the time I get it next year, I feel like the firmware is going to be in a place where like none of this is even going to be under discussion anymore. Like it's going to be a lot smoother and all that good stuff.
We're waiting for next year anyway before we decide which one we may or may not get.
I think there's a lot of people waiting for next year, period. Just for everything, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, hopefully next year won't be, you know, the floating dumpster fire this year was.
I honestly, truly don't think it will be. And then granted, I've been stupidly optimistic throughout this whole thing, but I really do think like for a lot of us, there will be a way out of this situation pretty soon. Well, relatively soon, 4, 5, 6 months. It's going to be some other people and, you know, that are going to, you know, make this still a headline for a long time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But well, I'll be able to go to your house and play pinball.
Yes. All the pinballs are right. Well, I don't know. Dan's got stuff sitting on top of my Theater of Magic right now, and I'm kind of mad about it.
Uh-oh. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about our next story, which has to do with, well, this is something that's going to make people sad about 2021.
Not me.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Not Jamie.
Not me.
There's a Halo joke there. Okay, so this is about Halo. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
So a pretty big bombshell was announced this past week where Halo is going to be ending their online services in December of 2021, meaning the Halo games that were for the Xbox 360. Original Xbox actually already ended some time ago. You may or may not have remembered that. But the Xbox 360 games, and there's a lot of them, Halo Reach, Halo 4, Halo 3, Halo 3 ODST, Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary, Spartan Assault, Halo Wars, all of those games being sunsetted, but you have a whole year to enjoy what you've got, okay? So December 2021 is when those are going away. Now, some clarity on this. If I am playing the games in backward compatibility mode on my Xbox One or Xbox Series X, will I no longer be able to play online? And the answer is, you will no longer be able to play online even in backwards compatibility mode. Okay, because it is actually those 360 games and their servers that are going away, very similar to the OG Halo and Halo 2 when the original Xbox went away. You can play some original Xbox games, including Halo, on the Series X. That's what's pretty rad about the Microsoft landscape right now, but you can't play it online, sorry to say, because the servers are gone. And that's going to be the same case with these games. Now, what it won't impact is, and here's kind of the aha moment, the Master Chief Collection, which includes Halo, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4, and probably eventually pretty much everything I just named over there, save maybe the tactical. Actually, no, I think one of those tactical games is already in there. But anyway, the Halo Master Chief Collection, that is not affected. That is technically an Xbox One title, and so the server's fat. So if you want to play Halo 2, you have to do it through the Master Chief Collection, and that's how you're going to be able to do it moving forward. So that's what you have.
As opposed to the Master Chef Collection, which I've consistently typoed it.
And considering a lot of Microsoft people are on Game Pass right now, and the Master Chief Collection is with Game Pass, or you probably bought an Xbox One when the Master Chief Collection was included. I know I did. That's what you've got. And that game is still going, and no plans to end that there. So I do think it's interesting. I mean, there is that moment of, memories with Halo 3 and stuff like that, you know, and some of these other games. But it's like, Halo 3 came out in what, like 2006? Like, it's an old game, you know, so I'm not terribly surprised.
You can't say they didn't support their titles. So
yeah, this isn't an EA situation. What's that?
Remember when I got married and you came to my bachelorette party?
Yes.
Dan was having a Halo 2 LAN party.
Oh yeah, good times.
Yeah, they had like 8 Xboxes hooked up to 8 CRT TVs in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Halo 3 was just on the horizon after that. So it's been a while.
And Mimsy94 in chat says, they better try remasters of those games, damn it. For what it's worth, I think ODST is in the Master Chief Collection now. And that is it. So the Master Chief Collection is the remasters. You can play those in 4K. And that's on PC, and it's on Xbox One and Series X. And if you have Game Pass, it's a big part of it, because obviously that's Microsoft's big thing. So yeah, I mean, as much of a bummer as this news is, at least they're giving a full year's notice. So you got a whole year to party hard. Also, what I think is interesting, what they list in Phase 2, so right now, as of December 2020, Halo Xbox 360 DLC can still be acquired at no cost. I think that's all kind of included in Master Chief Collection anyway, so maybe most people didn't notice this. But if for whatever reason you want to go play the old 360 versions, all this, the DLC is there for the taking now. So you get a whole year to party hard, and then they're going to pull the plug. But they haven't said exactly what day. It's that vague December 2021. But no sooner than 1 year from the date of the blog, which was December 21st. So maybe for Christmas. That's what you get for Christmas. The plug's going to get pulled. No, I would assume December 31st is just the nice round day they're going to pull the plug. But we'll see. So, all right. So enjoy your Halo 360 while it lasts. I was going to ask if anybody has any Halo 360 memories they want to share. Jamie, I know you don't. Loki, did you play Halo?
Other than having to do Halo as my classic game.
But that wasn't even on the 360. That's the original Xbox. They pulled that one a while
ago. That's like the most Halo love one will get from me.
I did.
Other than Red versus Blue. I love Red versus Blue.
I played through Halo 3, and I think we played a little bit of multiplayer in our like game room on Halo 3 for a very short period of time, but that was about it. We didn't really do that. I don't have a ton of experience with it.
I played 3 when it first came out for sure, because that was like the 360 game that was being hyped up, you know? And I loved Halo 2, so I was like, all right, I'm going to play Halo 3. I remember not enjoying the multiplayer as much in 3.
It's the game that it's the demo that everybody bought Crackdown for.
Yes, there's that too.
Or the beta, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So anyway, good memories. But again, the Master Chief Collection still around. So Halo ain't going anywhere. And then Halo Infinite's coming out eventually. So,
and by the way,
yeah,
just to explain to people who are new to the show, I don't really hate Halo. I just don't enjoy Halo. Yeah.
It's an inside joke that's
admittedly
gotten out of hand. All right. Let's get into, speaking of jokes that have gotten out of hand, Dark Sakura.
This ain't a joke. This is real, and I'm excited. This is the console I want to get. It's on the top of my fucking list.
What is
it? KFC is doing a gaming console, and it has a chicken warmer, and it's called the KF console.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not a joke. I thought it was a joke.
I thought it was a joke, too.
It's more of a fancy case than it is a console.
Yeah, but don't ruin my joy.
I know, I'm not saying that it is
anything.
You
go pee in your side of the pool, okay? No, Fifth Dream is the top of my bucket list. At any rate, the KF console is going to be coming out. I guess it's going to be, the Kentucky Fried console. That's just so hilarious. But at any rate, it's being made in a partnership with Cooler Masters, a PC maker. It's going to be really a customized PC that will run 4K games with 240 frames per second, which is twice the frame rate of the Xbox Series X and PS5. We'll have twice as much storage as those systems. It's going to be using an Intel NUC 9 Extreme Compute Element that will house an Intel Core i9, has a hot swappable GPU. It's a PC.
Yeah, it's a fucking PC. Where if there's anything, maybe KFC engineers built a Linux branded thing that will show up as the OS, maybe something like that. Essentially, it's a PC.
But at any rate, it will support ray tracing, VR, and has a heated interior chamber for warming your chicken.
So when you play World of Warcraft, you can unironically say, at least I have chicken. But
it's interesting, the whole idea of heating. I wonder if that's just with the, it's
just gonna
the
warm run
fan is coming from the CPU.
It'll keep it warm. Here's what I want to know. Why limit it to just a chicken warmer? Can you put other things in there? Like a baby? Like what else can go in?
Me think that I'm going to have I'm going to have something I can play games on that smells like fucking fried chicken. And you know what? I'm enough of a rebel that I would put Jollibee in it instead.
Is it like...
Yeah, I can't wait to see those controllers after everybody... Oh, I'm sorry. Keyboard and mouse after everything. We'll have to get those the grease-proof ones that they had for, what was it, PUBG?
You have to wear plastic gloves. Is it hot enough where it's like an easy bake oven where you can make little cookies like in an easy bake oven?
Well, we don't know that yet.
Can I bake in it?
But when my fan was busted on my gaming PC, I used to actually just leave my cup of coffee sitting on it because it would stay warm.
How does the KF console handle vape smoke? That's a question we ask in this
that
day and age
whole
now.
Thing. That whole that the vape thing was the dumbest of the dumb. Okay, so one thing though, I'm watching their little commercial again, and you know what was really awesome about this commercial? Mustang. Someone's driving a Mustang.
You gotta hand it to Kentucky Fried Chicken's branding and whoever's doing that whole stuff, because they've really not slowed down in 2020. I mean, they've got this. There was that Lifetime movie that was like completely unironically like Mario Lopez or whatever as the
oh my god,
as the Colonel, even though Reba McEntire is my favorite Colonel, but Mario Lopez in some romantic Lifetime movie.
And he looked terrible, by the way. Okay, so this thing,
that was the point.
I'm looking at their mock-up of it on the little commercial, and I can't even right now. I mean, I so can't even that I can't odd even.
That's right. I forgot.
I'm finding the tweet to show people.
Jopium313 in chat is saying they had a dating sim. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. I have the dating sim. It's I love you, Colonel Sanders.
So they, you know what? But here's the thing. Here we are. We've just given KFC like five
hot
minutes of
Silver Fox Daddy.
Yeah, see, so that's what I thought. They're just exhausting the hot air through the top, and that blows through a vent with chicken. So I can imagine that would be so amazing, because now you're going to have somehow hot air's got to get in there. So that means that there is some sort of ventilation or holes in there, which means if air can get through there, then chicken grease can get right through there as well. So that's going to be a big old mess. But sure, let's try it.
You know what? We've just given KFC like a free 5-minute commercial on this show, though. So I will say, I'm with Jamie, where I will unironically put my Popeye's chicken sandwich in the warmer.
I have just officially followed the KFC gaming Twitter.
Get a free console, Jamie.
And a Terrace of One now.
Maybe. Dude, they've got like a bunch of they're UK based as well. They've got 208,000 followers. So sure, why not?
SSG100 Matt in chat says KFC tried and succeeded to outdo Arby's Twitter. What is with, like, and this was a thing that's been going for like 3, 4, maybe 5 years now. These, like, Twitter brand on Twitter is like, it's gone off the rocker. Like, it started with Wendy's. That whole thing.
You know, it started with Wendy's.
It did start with Wendy's. Steak'em is on there now. And that's.
But Arby's, though, you know, they've got one of us in their PR group who does all this cardboard. I mean, it's all made from their like materials, and I'm living for the Arby's Twitter. Now the KFC one is like, I don't know. There's good stuff coming out of it.
And it's not just food chains now. Now Dionne Warwick is back. And hey, I have a lot of love for Dionne Warwick, and her Twitter account is fucking fire.
But her daughter taught her how to Twitter.
Good. Because she's brightened up the
Twitterverse. It wasn't her niece.
Yeah, her niece.
Brittany, somebody.
They did a sketch on Saturday Night Live, and it's like one of the funniest things I've seen on Saturday Night Live in a long time, where she goes, "Can you put a hex on Wendy Williams? You look like a spooky bitch. Can you put a hex on Wendy Williams for me?"
Yeah.
I died. It was great. And Dionne Warwick took the whole thing in stride.
She went from psychic to don't give a fuck.
I love it. I'm loving the Dionne Warwick. And now, here's the other big thing I just saw this week. Eve 6, the band from the 90s.
What?
I would swallow my pride. I would choke on. I don't want to get shut down for copyright infringement.
I hate that song.
Okay, but go look at their Twitter. Because they have just. They have entered the town of No Fucksville. And what was it? He wrote a tweet earlier that would like had been retweeted a billion times that said, had a one hit wonder song in the 90s and can't get insurance or something like that. Like, it's just it's crazy.
Pin tweet. Pretty sure we're going to be huge again.
Anyway. All right.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. This is absolutely worth following. This is like my kind of dry, don't give a fuck humor.
Right? All right. Anyway, let's move on. We got from KFC to Twitter talk to the screensaver coming on my Mac, which I hope didn't shut down the stream.
For once, Rob.
I think we're good.
We went from instead of being distracted by food, we were distracted from food. That is an OLR first.
Maybe the future is a scary place.
We've jumped the shark, Rob. We didn't just jump the shark. We blew it up.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get into some news, maybe a little less scary. Maybe something we can look forward to in 2021. Loki, what do you have for us?
All right. The COVID relief bill just passed. They just signed it into law, so that's wonderful. And a part of that, of course, because they shoved a bunch.
Hold up. Did he actually sign it finally? After all,
he actually signed it finally. Yes.
Oh, about fucking time, Jesus!
Yeah.
All right.
So he's
that must have happened during the show because I missed
happened,
that.
It just. Breaking so
well I guess it was raining on the golf course, wasn't it? Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
He had to do something, I guess. He got bored.
But I already did something today.
So with that, of course, so it wasn't just a COVID relief bill, it was also their spending bill for the I can't remember what they call it. They're like, it's basically this big omnibus bill, and as part of the non-COVID part of that, they shoved a bunch of other stuff in there because it was getting fast tracked, and so it was like, you know, 50,000 pages or
5,000,
well, been 50,000 pages because, you know, with 2 hours or, you know, a couple few hours to actually look at it, and 5,000 pages, it's hard to even see all the stuff that they're voting, you know, yes on. But one of that was the CASE Act, which is apparently a new bill that will propose establishing a new court-like entity within the U.S. Copyright Office to resolve copyright disputes, which basically it's this new group of people that get to make copyright decisions, whether or not you are liable for fines up to $30,000. And then on top of that, if you are found to be purposefully sharing copyrighted material online, you could be liable for felony as well. Now, granted, this is not necessarily, I think, directed towards folks on Twitch and YouTube that are accidentally putting copyright music in their streams or something like that. This is more of the sense of, like, you know, running a pirate server that's basically hosting movies and stuff like that. It's more of the purposeful, you know, piracy that's out there. That's not to say that, you know, stuff will get twisted in the way that,
yeah,
you know, they could come
that
down
whole,
on people.
Overreach, but
because, I mean, look at the RIA and what they've done in the past for folks illegally downloading MP3s and stuff, which really hurts nobody, but they'll fine them, you know, so much money on that. So it is unfortunately something that's already been passed, but is it necessarily going to affect everyone? I guess we'll have to see what happens, but it's not a positive thing. Definitely it's siding with these corporations again, who really need no more protections.
Yeah. I think you kind of hit it when you say the intent behind it is for these, you know, big, you know, the websites where it's like, you don't have HBO Max. So you go to this website to watch the pirated version of Wonder Woman 84 or whatever. You know, that's a no-no, right? You're not supposed to do that. That's, you know, piracy laws. They don't have a lot of ways to enforce that. Although I'm curious, how does that work? Because most of those websites are overseas, but I digress. I guess that's something they'll have to figure out. But I think we're worried about how might the language and how might some of that be used when the RIAA decides, oh, we could make more money by shutting down Twitch, you know, or something like that. I think that's yeah, the worries there.
And to, like, kind of like, so right now they do have, there is like felonies for, it's like for other types of piracy or other types of, like, what this is basically doing is bringing the actual streaming part of it up to equal merits with the other types of piracy that are out there. So the penalties with those is what it's basically doing. Because before, I think it was, they couldn't enforce a heavier penalty on people, which I don't know if they necessarily need to do in the first place. But yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it's illegal streaming for commercial profit is what the bill is stipulating. And it says, provide the public digital transmission service that is primarily focused on illegal streams. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think it needs more revisions. I mean, that's not to say that they couldn't just do something to revise this as well. But we'll have to see when the next administration gets in.
At least with politicians starting to get younger and younger, we're going to get more people in there that get it, so to speak. I mean, obviously, you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has done her own stream. She was joined by Ilhan Omar. So those are two representatives there, right? And then, you know, even if you're like, I don't like those extreme left or whatever, even on the right, we know Justin Amash was watching, although I think he's done now. I don't think he sought another term. But still, you know, there are people that are on the right who are watching what's happening. And, you know, I think, I hate to say it, but maybe I don't. It's kind of an age thing, I think. And I think as we get more younger people that have had Twitch be a part of their lives and so forth and have had YouTube and stuff, we'll finally start to see laws that kind of answer that. But right now, you got a lot of people in there that just do what Hollywood wants them to do, even though yeah, it's in their best interest, but they don't give a rat's ass about Twitch, you know? So That's, I think, what it comes down to. I just realized also I opened Pandora's box by uttering the words Wonder Woman 84. Haven't seen the movie. I haven't even seen the first movie, you guys. I watch so little TV and movies anymore.
Apparently, they had some anachronisms because there were two arcade games that were in the arcade that didn't come out until like 86 and 87.
But there are very big opinions one way. I'm seeing people love it. I'm seeing people hate it. I'm seeing people kind of it's just be respectful of everybody's opinions,
great.
Y'all. It's all over the board. I'm seeing it all over the board. Whatever.
I'm not a DC fan, so I'm not in a hurry to watch it anyway.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I still haven't forgiven him for Batman versus Superman. All right. That I did see, and I wish I hadn't. Moving on.
Well, of course they greenlit a third movie because, you know, it made some money, and it's just unfortunately, like, for me, like, I've gotten out of the whole DC stuff because I don't know, like, they're trying to pull like what the Marvel Cinematic Universe seems to have more cohesion to it, and it's like,
yes,
it's just going movie to movie, there's like, it's more interesting, whereas the DC stuff, it's just it's misfire after misfire, which is unfortunate because I like the DC characters, but it's just, oh my god, put the people in charge of the Marvel movies in charge of the DC movies, and then we'll see like a night and day difference, but it's just not there yet.
How did it make, I mean, I and this is not being a hater, this is an honest question, how do they know already it made enough money? Is that just based off international box office and places where theaters are running?
Well, it made $84 million already.
Wow, and that's without HBO Max?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, and you know HBO... Okay, then never mind, question answered, because you know HBO probably paid like $50 million or something like that to have it on their service, so...
It's Warner Brothers service, though. Warner Brothers owns HBO, so that's why it's on HBO Max.
Got it. Well, still, the money they're getting from monthly subscriptions and probably people that signed up and stuff is probably not... Okay, that answers my question, actually. Thank you. All right. Let's move on. Let's go back to classics, because apparently I don't understand how this newfangled box office works in the age of HBO Max. Let's talk about classics and a newer game that's going classic, although I don't think this surprises anyone. The game Bloodstained Ritual of the Night has been adding a lot of, you know, side modes and extra modes in the game. For example, some free DLC included a randomizer mode, a boss revenge mode, allowing you to play as alternate protagonists. Well, now 505 Games and Art Play have announced that there is a classic mode coming to the game, and when you look at the screenshots of classic mode, it looks exactly like a classic game that Bloodstained drew a lot of influence from, in fact, because the same creative mind was behind them both. Yes, it looks like a freaking Castlevania game, and I don't mean Symphony of the Night, I mean the old, like, Vampire Hunter turned into Castlevania and that whole thing. It looks like one of those games, but it looks like it, but it still has, it's not like retro, like the interface looks like it, but it's not like an 8-bit game all of a sudden. That was that Curse of the Moon side franchise they were doing. No, this is like a classic mode that's built into the game, so it's more like 2D platforming action. So that's kind of neat. And again, it's something that is just coming to the game next month because of how well the Kickstarter did, funded all these extra things. So that's pretty cool. Another reason to visit Bloodstained if you haven't visited that in a while. I know I bought it, and then it showed up on Game Pass. I backed it, actually.
And they have a mobile version now, too.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, I still think that the PS4 version is the best of the home releases.
Hmm. Yeah,
it just played so smoothly from day one.
The Switch version had some kind of hiccups in it. I think they've patched a lot of that out and ironed a lot of that out, but it was a little rough in the beginning there. So,
I don't know if it's J Opium or Jopium 313 said that they announced the sequel for Bloodstained today.
I thought they were already working on one.
I thought they were too.
Yeah, but they might have done an update or put out something on that. I'm not surprised. I think the game's been doing very well. So, neat.
I'm surprised that 505 Games didn't want to charge us again for, you know, that classic mode, you know.
I think the terms of the original Kickstarter didn't. I think it was, if we make so much money, then essentially the community's already paid for it. I think that's what it works, how it works. So, speaking of working, I thought this was a neat story, Dark Saga. I had no idea something like this was a thing until you shared it with me earlier today.
And I'll tell you how I came across it is actually I love to watch Did You Know Gaming, one of my favorite channels. And the fella who runs it has a game history secrets thing that he does. His name is Liam Robertson. And so he did one about having tried to research this Game Boy peripheral called the Work Boy. And I don't know if you'd ever seen any of the pictures or people saying that it was like the holy grail of like old Game Boy accessories. And, you know, people might remember that I did a year before last do the classic peripheral. And I tried to outline like different peripherals, including the sewing machine for the Game Boy. So this one is called the Work Boy. It was rumored to have been released in very limited numbers in 1992. It actually never was released. It was developed by Fabtech. It was actually Fabtech and Source Research and Development. So it was a two-part item. You have a small little keyboard and a cartridge. So, and as as people who were looking at the code from the big the Giga leak, they found one of the working prototypes of the cartridge, but they couldn't get anything to do with it because it was reliant on the keyboard to make it work. And the video is absolutely worth watching. But at any rate, Liam, in doing research on this, actually got in touch with Franz Balus, who was the founder of Fabtech, who gave him his prototype, the copy he had of the thing, just sent it to him. And but none of the developers had the cartridge for it. And it was the Giga leak that made this available. Mm. I mean, through this, there's like people who developed games who lost so much of their work that this Giga leak returned their work to them pretty much. And this is one of the items is included. And
that's
so
interesting. Huh? Sorry, that's very interesting because there's been a lot of talk about, is the Giga leak like an ethical thing to cover? You know, it's kind of like one tough question we've been faced with as, you know, people that are producing, you know, gaming media type of thing.
Regardless.
Yeah, it is news. And I think that's kind of ultimately where it falls. It's like, you're going to talk about it whether we do or not. So, you know,
exactly.
And we can just say the leaks aren't cool. It's not cool. It happened. But it is interesting, Jamie, that now you've kind of got this interesting side to it where it's like, well, here's a case where this leak kind of allowed people who worked on it who thought it was gone mm-hmm. forever to kind of be reunited with it. So it's an interesting,
like,
not that we're saying it's okay, but it is an interesting silver lining to the situation.
Well, and so if people work on this project and they haven't had any way to save any of their assets or any of the work, because technically it's owned by the studio that they did it for, you know, for a lot of these people, it was sort of like a little bit of gold for them, you know, just something that's come back up, like finding an heirloom or something.
Yeah.
But at any rate, the thing is that this is actually pretty cool. This basically does what a lot of stuff that we can do on, say, our iPhones today. But this was created before even PDAs were a big thing. The portable digital assistants, like Palm Pilot.
That? Palm Pilot.
Yeah. So at any rate, what this does is it has, and it was actually a pretty cool little thing. It has like a calendar. It has a built-in clock, and the clock is reliant on the cartridge. You know, so the two things work together because, you know, the Game Boy didn't have a built-in clock.
Right.
It also had a country locator, and it's like, I think it was like 16 of the countries would play like the first few stanzas of their anthem.
Hmm.
It also had a loose translator in there, like for like useful phrases, and I want to say 8 or 10 different languages. You know, just like useful things like for someone working. It also had, now it didn't have a number pad on there, but you could use your top line of letters that corresponded to a number to add in, to use the calculator, to use the phone book. It had a phone book built into it, you know, like a little portable Rolodex. And it was actually really cool. It had a word processor built into it, you know.
I thought that was neat.
It was supposed to have a printer capability, but there wasn't a port on, I guess, the prototype for the keyboard yet.
Mm. And the Game Boy printer itself must not have been a thing yet.
I'd have to check the time frame, but yeah, this was 1992. But at any rate, this thing was supposed to retail for about $90. Hmm. What they were saying in the video is that the what initially put the halt on it was the fact that the Game Boy was going to be dropping its price. Like, they had a price point on this that was set to match the Game Boy's price point.
Mm.
So you would pay roughly $180-$200 and get this, you know, portable word processor system, something that was well ahead of its time. excuse me. And he just put the hold on it. Mm. And the thing is that there were people after this were like, we would have paid for this thing no matter what the price difference between this and the Game Boy was, you know. And they're like, well, kind of wish we did it. And they actually did remarket it later on. They had it in mind to do one for the Game Boy Advance that, of course, didn't even make it to prototype. It was just, you know, drawings. And it actually was, the idea was purchased by Nokia.
Interesting.
For one of their PDAs.
And it became the N-Gage. Just kidding.
I would have to dig deeper into that, but maybe not. The taco was not the best thing ever to happen. And Nintendo hired one of the people who worked on that project as a design consultant for the Game Boy Advance. And that's kind of what was leading to the Work Boy 2, the Game Boy Advance one that never saw the light of day. SSJ100 Matt says we're getting classic game and classic peripheral. Unreleased peripheral.
Yeah, unreleased.
Again, you know, I have done an unreleased game as classic game. I did Space Fantasy Zone.
Maybe there's a 2020 theme in there. Classic unreleased thing or something. Classic...
if you can think of I don't want to do that much research.
All right. maybe I'll
do classic controller.
This is still neat because it was kind of enhancing the Game Boy to do things that weren't just games. Now,
there's also a budget thing on here too, which I mean, it's just so interesting.
Yeah. Now, what is interesting, Rama shared this link in chat of something he remembered, and it was like a Game Boy. It was from InfoGenius Productivity Pack. Oh, from Game Tech. A personal organizer and phone book. So, and it actually had a clock in it and things like that, and it looks like there's some other things there, so like a travel guide, a spell checker. So this wasn't the only thing to really think of how can we... make the Game Boy more than just games when people are taking this in their pocket. Because this, again, you have to remember, early 90s, before cell phones, all that stuff. So
before smartphones.
Yeah, how do we put that all in our pocket where we go? And so it's interesting, some people took this approach of putting them in game packs, although the Work Boy was more going to be not just a game, quote unquote, a program, but a peripheral, with the word processing and all that stuff. It's kind of neat.
Exactly so. And honestly, absolutely watch the video. I will copy the link and paste it in chat because... it is absolutely, absolutely worth the watch. I think it was a wonderful video. It went into a lot more detail than I did. Of course, don't watch it during the show. Wait till we're done. but it's so very. It is just really cool to see the thing in motion. I thought it was really, really something special. And the fact that the dude just gave it to this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, I think it, like if I remember the conversation went, you want it? Yes.
Here you
go. He sent it. And the fact that this ties into the Giga Leak as well is just sort of like news upon news in history.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All of right. course, now I couldn't. I would imagine that it would have needed like some sort of like holder or rig in there, which they actually had a rig designed for the Work Boy 2 that would have been with Game Boy Advance. Like it had a clamshell. Because certainly doing the word processing on such a tiny thing that could flop over if you were, say, like trying to work on a plane or something, you know, that wouldn't be easy.
All right. Well, yeah. you got to do back-to-back duty tonight because it's time to get to our classic game of the week. We've just talked about a
which
classic
has nothing to do with the Game Boy.
Yeah, it has nothing. It's just a completely different pick, but that's okay. It's time for the last classic game of 2020. So every week, Dark Sakura jumps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, "Hey, you brats, get off my lawn. Enough of your PlayStation 5s and Xbox Xs. You gotta get a console that didn't even come out in the United States for this one."
Yeah.
Sort of, but you'll get into it. Dark Saga, and this is one of those where
it did eventually make its way over here in one way or another.
You've talked about this series before, but not this particular game, and I think this is a fascinating
game
one.
In the series.
Yeah, so
and
let's
I'm
talk about
never, it. I'm going to take a Halo approach to the sequel, by the way, that the U.S. got, but in Japan. Metal Gear got a a sequel called Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake. And this is the actual sequel to Metal Gear, not Snake's Revenge. And the good
Although
thing about
I should
this
say,
one...
for the viewers, we are watching a later port of the game that is in English that Jamie will get into later. Just
correct.
So they understand why they're saying English.
And the cool thing about this is that you start seeing a lot of the groundwork for... like Metal Gear Solid, like we got on PlayStation, it really seems to have quite a bit more. You see that evolution into this. So, at any rate, it was released by Konami for the MSX2 computer in 1990. And it is, like I said, a direct sequel to the MSX2 version of Metal Gear, both written and designed by Hideo Kojima. And he actually did the sequel as a response to Snake's Revenge because it was bad and he didn't like it. So he made the real thing. With this one, of course, it only came out in Japan. And it was immediately followed up by Metal Gear Solid. This one is... it was interesting. And by the way, it did get the re-releases of this. It was released as content in the subsistence version of Metal Gear Solid 3 for PlayStation 2 in 2005. And included in the HD Metal Gear Solid 3 for PS3, Xbox 360, and PlayStation Vita. And then a standalone re-release in Japan for mobile phones and the Wii Virtual Console. But at any rate, it was set in 1999, a few years after the original game, where Snake has to go into this territory known as Zanzibar Land to kidnap a scientist and to destroy a new Metal Gear called Metal Gear D. It's got a lot more of the stealth aspect to it. Over the top, actually, because it really evolved that system. And it deals with a lot more in terms of the storyline. It's really gathered some complexity going over, like, the nature of what war is and nuclear proliferation. It's on record as one of the best 8-bit games ever made. And so with this one, it builds on that stealth-based gameplay. Your objective is to infiltrate the enemy stronghold while avoiding detection from soldiers, cameras, infrared sensors, and other surveillance devices. One of the big changes, actually, not in, I guess, Snake as much, but as in what the enemies can do. So instead of having, like, this one stationed guard, they now patrol multiple screens on a single map. And they have expanded vision to 45 degrees. They can turn their heads. They can detect sounds. Like, if you punch a wall or shoot a gun without a suppressor, they'll hear it. And then they'll come investigate. They can hear you walking on certain surfaces. And if you're discovered, then you have a counter that goes down until they've lost track of you. So then when it reaches zero, then it goes back to normal. Sound a lot like Metal Gear Solid right there? Just saying. You do have new maneuvers, new tools. So you can duck under dusks inside air ducts. You have a 3x3 radar grid so that you can see where your position is versus the enemies. Of course, the radar is disabled in the alert phase. Again, we saw this in Metal Gear Solid. You can increase your health and carrying capacity every time you beat a boss. You have robotic mice to distract enemies with. You have camo, different kinds of rations. The transceiver for your conversations are now... it's programmed to be a lot more context sensitive instead of just based on where you are. And you can see the faces of people that you're talking to. You get different codes, different frequency numbers. You can lure a carrier pigeon with certain rations. You got all kinds of different stuff. You can chase a lady spy into the ladies' room. Didn't we see this with Meryl? That, again, Metal Gear Solid. But the MSX2 version requires either a floppy disk drive or the Game Master 2 utility cartridge to save your progress. And in absence of that, the password, you have a password. Later versions of the game did remove the password feature in favor of using standardized media such as memory cards or internal hard disks. So, your main character, you have Solid Snake, you have Roy Campbell, you've got his commanding officer, McDonald Miller, who I think, didn't he become Master Miller in the later ones? You have George Kessler, you have Josef Norden, who was renamed to Johan Jacobson in the later ones. You have Holly White as a CIA agent posting as a journalist. You've got all kinds of just other characters. And some of them we've seen come back. You also have Big Boss and Gray Fox, as we saw in Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. You've got bosses. You have like one called Running Man, Red Blaster, Black Color, who's renamed to Black Ninja. Predator, who is also renamed Jungle Evil for some reason.
Weird.
And, you know, so basically that's sort of starting the hokey name thing that went on in later Metal Gear games. I'm not going to get too much into the story because I'd say you should go out and play the game. And there's also translated original MSX versions out there to play. But it was very, very successful. Kojima, of course, was not involved in either of the NES versions, and he didn't have a plan to do the sequel until he saw that one of his coworkers was assigned to work on Snake's Revenge. And he, of course, wasn't happy about it. And so the coworker actually encouraged Kojima to do his own. And so,
which Jamie, I just have to say, a comparison between you and Hideo Kojima, and probably why you like him so much, is that this game was motivated by spite, much like you.
Everything that I do, I'm absolutely motivated by spite.
But I love it. I mean, that's really what it is. Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear 2 is Solid Snake is one of those games that exists out of spite. Maybe Mega Man 2 being the only other I can think of off the top of my head where they weren't going to do it until the workers just kind of did it on their off time.
Yeah. Well, and basically, after some business trips, Kojima got the execs to approve of it for the MSX. So, as I said earlier, the MSX2 version of Metal Gear 2 was released in Japan on July 20th, 1990. No English version was produced since Konami actually discontinued sales of the MSX in Europe. Because, you know, the U.S. never got the MSX. They did it in Europe. Mm-hmm. There was a fan translation done in 1997 by the MSX hobbyist group G&T International.
Hmm.
The first port came on a Japanese phone basically a feature phone was what they're called, that had like the like video windows and stuff like that. Came out October 1st, 2004 for download on iMode, EasyWeb, and Yahoo Mobile services.
The guy playing this isn't very good at stealth, just saying.
The
video's going to loop in a minute here anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
I only am able to pull about 10 minutes before it loops.
But at any rate, it included an easy mode, a boss rush that was unlockable after you beat the game, and then the portraits in the MSX2 version were modeled after like some real celebrities, but then they were redesigned to look like the original character designs in the later installations or installments. And these changes also carried over into Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence, that version that came in, and Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. Anyway, I can't think of Snake Eater without that song gonna play in my head. It did get a release on the Wii Virtual Console exclusively in Japan on March 30th, 2010. And it was, of course, emulated off of the MSX2 hardware rather than being a port. The music was done by the Konami, I always mispronounce it, Kukeha Club. Same people that worked on Nemesis 2 and Snatcher. And you can actually hear some of the arranged music from that in the VR training disc for Metal Gear Solid Integral, or as we got it, Metal Gear Solid VR Missions. So the theme of Solid Snake was from that game was heard in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. So it was ranked at number one in MSX Magazine's top 30 best-selling MSX games. It was, pretty much given some amazing reviews, just even in the later iterations that we got with the releases with the later Metal Gear games, the remastered ones. So, I didn't play it myself. I watched Dan play through it because he had an emulator for it and he was really getting into it. I think this game is pretty fantastic. It laid this one, I think, like while the first Metal Gear might have been the foundation for all of the later games, this one really laid out the groundwork. This one was the cornerstone, the studs, the anchors.
Well, and
for
I think it's just such a unique release too, where we literally had two different sequels. In the U.S. versus Japan, which doesn't happen all the time. Super Mario Brothers comes to mind, but it's not something you really have a lot of in the history of gaming. And just the fact that not only and even with Mario, at least those games were still both Nintendo games, but these are really radically different because Metal Gear 2 was for the longest time only in Snake's Revenge is what I call the U.S.
Snake's Revenge.
But Metal Gear 2 was a MSX thing, which we didn't even have here in the States. And then, of course, Snake's Revenge was an NES game. And yeah, I remember playing a little bit of it, and it wasn't. You could tell it was designed by different people. It was a different kind of game. But then
he said he had memories of playing it. But yeah, it's not the best game.
It's also weird because many of us in the U.S., our foundation of Metal Gear is that original. Admittedly subpar version of the game, but we didn't know that. Didn't know that the last boss wasn't supposed to be a computer. Yeah, exactly. And so it is interesting how, here in the U.S., I think we all just kind of collectively wrote off Snake's Revenge, and then, Metal Gear Solid shows up, and that's really, either the first experience in the franchise for a lot of people, whatever. But you bring up a great point that it's like, but the real bridge between Metal Gear and Metal Gear Solid is this, and unless you are a hardcore Metal Gear collector or whatever, you probably have never played it or maybe even heard of it before because of its unique Japanese release. Sorry.
On top of that, what I think a lot of people didn't realize when they were playing Metal Gear Solid is that when Gray Fox shows up and Snake knows him, and everyone's like, who the hell is Gray Fox and why does Snake know him?
Yeah, well, good point.
Yeah. And I really like that Kojima was like,
I'm sorry, Jamie. Wasn't Gray Fox in the original Metal Gear? I know Big Boss was. I thought Gray Fox was a character.
Yeah, I guess. But he had more of a role to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. I loved the 8-bit Metal Gear when I was a kid. And I had, but what's weird, I never super got into the Solid series, honestly. They just became too stealthy for me. Sorry, Jamie.
Well, what I was saying, though, with that is this, like Kojima said, I reject your reality and replace it with my own. And I think that getting those, the subsistence and Metal Gear Solid 3 is the first exposure that people who did not actively look for it here in the U.S. got to this game. And I'm really glad that they localized it for what we got over here, because it's a fantastic game. I really enjoyed the story. It's been years since I've done any play of it, but I was just like thinking, what is something that would be good to end the year on?
Yeah. And what, you know, I really wish Konami would kind of get their shit together, so to speak, and maybe put these redone versions out again, you know, outside of the Metal Gear, you know, where it was just showed up as bonus content. Why not do some re-release standalone content of on the Nintendo Switch or something of the MSX games? I'd be so into that. I'd love that. Mm-hmm. So, well, we'll see.
Right.
But
so, with this particular segment over, I want to position a question to both of you guys that Dan asked me.
Okay.
And he asked me what semi-obscure video game system or anything that plays video games would I want. So before I give you my answer, I want to know what you two would choose.
Wait, I don't know. Who you, Dark Sakura, would want or who I would want?
I want? I'm asking you what's semi-obscure or somewhat obscure system that you would want.
Damn, that's a really good question. I know you put me on the spot here.
I can do that.
Maybe, yeah, you can. I was gonna say maybe like, of course, my brain is going to like retro stuff, and I'm kind of torn between like either like an old ass like Apple IIe, because I never had one of those when I was a kid. And there's a lot of fun stuff to rediscover on that, or maybe straight up a Coleco. I know that's your bread and butter, but I never had a Coleco and never really.
I can lend you one.
Got to play with that. Okay, maybe.
I have
two of them.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's in my garage.
No, I have two. Dan bought one from one of my coworkers, and then I came back from Alabama with one.
Although, don't get me wrong, MSX would be badass, but the reality is all the games are in Japanese.
I'm not going to count the Saturn as obscure, by the way, VidPower. I'm talking about things like an FM Towns or something like that.
Or, I thought of another one, the Panasonic Q, the one that played GameCube games. That was kind of rad.
Okay.
All right.
What about you, Loki?
What are you?
I don't really have any consoles that I would want, I would think.
Well, I'm also counting gaming computers that were standalone systems.
Like computers too. Oh my god.
So something like the FM Towns or something like that.
No, I don't really have anything that I would want. I can't think of anything.
I told Dan mine would be the Sharp X68000.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I can find a Duo LT. A PC Engine Duo LT. Wait, why did I say Duo? It's just a PC Engine LT. Which, you remember Chris Tang?
Yeah.
I think he has a couple of them. He lost one in a movie theater. True story.
Wow.
I don't know if he wants me to tell that, but I just did.
Some interesting comments in chat. Bobby's saying, not obscure, but I want a CDI so I can find the Zelda games. Orangerite says a 3DO. Questbuster says not a console, but how about an arcade cab like the R360?
Yeah.
Well, the CDI games were unofficially remastered a few weeks ago, yeah, and they are out on the internet if you were looking to play for those on PC.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Well, you know what Dan's answer was?
What's that?
Dan wants the Capcom CPS changer,
which
you can only play like 8 games on it. But they're the arcade games.
Yeah, because if we can throw arcades into it, then I want a Nintendo Pay Choice 10.
but the changer itself is meant to play the arcade games on a home TV, which is basically just like, I think, a super gun. And yeah, But yeah, Dan said the CPS changer, and me, I would want the Sharp.
Okay. All right.
And Bobby, you send me $4,000. I'll send you a Doctor Who pinball on my honor.
All right.
Including the shipping.
All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Metal Gear 2, not to be confused with Snake's Revenge, the not great sequel we got in the U.S., but the actual MSX sequel done by Hideo Kojima to the original Metal Gear game. Good pick, Dark Soccer. I actually thought we'd done it before, but I think we just talked about it when we were talking about like the first game or something like that. So because I knew this little bit about gaming history, and I didn't know. For a lot, we were doing this show and I learned about it. I was like, what? There's a different Metal Gear 2 game? What? I kind of learned that through this show. So, yeah, kind of cool. It's a neat little gaming story. All right. Let's get into some rapid fire news. We're going to travel around the globe and quickly cover some other things. Actually, I don't think we have as much with the holiday week, but we'll get into it anyway.
No.
Loki.
Well, anyways, so we have some more games with gold for January. So now looks like Little Nightmares, Dead Rising, The King of Fighters 13, and Breakdown will be your games with gold for January. So that's pretty cool. And then another Microsoft title is also getting an update. So the VR update for Microsoft Flight Simulator is now a thing. It is going to be, of course, I mean, it makes sense. Just the actual like head tracking is basically supported. They don't actually support any of the controllers, which makes sense because you're flying a plane. I can't imagine that they'd be able to simplify it that that much. But I guess it's got to come to consoles at some point, so they're going to have to simplify it a little bit. But it is not something that they are supporting right now, but it does support any OpenXR compliant headsets. So your Oculus 5, Valve Index, Windows Mixed Reality headsets are supported. So pretty cool. Wonder how big that download is. But yeah.
Going to be big.
I have to try that.
All right.
I just don't want to download the whole game.
Well, speaking of VR, another game that's getting VR is Tetris Effect Connected. And you might be thinking, well, wasn't Tetris Effect already in DVR? Yes, the PlayStation version was in VR, but this is Tetris Effect Connected. This is the kind of sequel, kind of, it's more like Tetris Effect Plus, I would call it. That wasn't on PlayStation and still isn't. It is actually still exclusive to Xbox and Windows 10, but through the Microsoft Windows 10 store, not through Epic Games, which is where I bought it. It's the only game I've bought on the Epic Store is Tetris Effect, and it is not upgraded to Connected still. That will be coming out this summer, so it sounds like Microsoft probably threw some coin to have Connected be an exclusive for a little bit. But anyway, if you have it on the Xbox or Windows 10 Store, obviously the Series X and those, they don't support VR headsets. But if you have it on a PC through the Microsoft storefronts, you will get, you know, of course, 4K, 60 frames per second output and all this. But the Connected stuff will add, with the 1.10 patch, official support for Vive and Oculus Rift headsets, although the notes for the patch do indicate it should work with other, like Steam VR. If it runs that, it'll work on the headset. So it should be pretty pretty open-ended there. And I'm sure if it doesn't officially get supported, hackers will make it work. Wink. So there you go. Tetris Effect Connected, now in VR, which is a great VR game, by the way. At least the original is. So one of the few things I've played a lot of on the PlayStation 4 VR. Dark Soccer, how about you?
How about some Homestar Runner news?
But it's 2020.
2066. Anyway, so since Flash is being officially discontinued on December 31st, they have finally put out level 10 of Stinko Man 2066. So, it's basically a Flash game. It's got multiple levels, sort of anime style. And yeah, level 10 is out. You can play it before it goes away. I might have to get myself my Flash downloader and just save the whole game so I can play it forever. But yeah. some Homestar Runner stuff. Yeah, just a fun little platformer.
So you got about 5 days to squeeze it in there before Flash is gone forever. So
right.
Yeah. Oof. That's been a whole to-do going on with my day life, because Flash is how a lot of e-learning was built back in the day. And so we have to kind of like convert it all to not be Flash anymore.
I learned Flash in college.
Yeah, I learned a little bit of it there too. So yeah, it's funny.
I took two whole semesters.
Yeah.
Or not semesters, but yeah, semesters learning Flash.
Yeah.
And I sucked at it. But the fun thing now is that all that time I spent in learning out Flash made it really easy for me to learn motion.
And DJ Rama S in chat says, Newgrounds created an alternative Flash player for its website. Oh, I'm sure there will still be ways. But for the most part,
probably just update this for HTML5.
Yeah. Yeah. So, by the way, did what Alan bring me show up on cam? Because he went to the store and sometimes he'll bring me a little treat. So he brought me.
I wasn't looking on the cam.
He brought me red vines, but they're not, because you know, Jamie, I don't think you'll like this. I'm not really into red vines, but it's the black licorice red vines. Yum. Because I am that freak who loves black licorice.
I bet you like Jaeger too.
I do love Jaeger, actually. Because you know what it tastes like?
Terrible.
Malort, on the other hand. No, I'm kidding.
So all have right. you had... All right. So I have to ask, have you ever had Ouzo?
I don't think so, no.
It is an anise flavored liqueur from Greece.
Huh.
So if you come over, I might invest in a very small bottle of Ouzo to see if you can stand it.
All right.
I hate it.
All right. All right. I think that's it for rapid
fire. And fifth dream, absinthe is also nasty. And I've had the real thing, so.
I feel like I've had it, but it was the marketed thing. Like, it wasn't the real thing. Like, it was the, you know, after everybody saw Moulin Rouge, somebody made a mainstream version of it. So I don't think I've had the real thing. All right.
Yeah, when I had it, it was actually on a Creek Indian reservation.
Ooh, fun.
And so it was the real thing because the laws are different.
Yeah,
you could bring it in there.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely terrible. It's spirits of wormwood. It kind of handed me my ass because I had a bunch of it because I don't even know what the fuck we were doing, but absinthe is terrible.
Pog Culture says I had a Dragon Con, and I that's what I kind of thought, but I didn't want to commit myself to that. But thank you for that. And I remember.
Am
I wrong? It was kind of the you could buy it at a store stuff, which, you know, the stuff Jamie's talking about, you can't really buy at the store.
But by the way, to tell Ranma, who said Mako-chan would love to have some of the real deal. I was 18 when I had absinthe.
This has been a little while, but not that long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
All right.
Just saying.
Let's move on and travel around the world and check out some release dates. Although I have a feeling it's going to be a quiet week, but let's check in anyway.
Got nothing for you. I'm sure there's some digital games coming out, but nothing's on the slate.
Yeah.
We're done for the year.
At this point, we're pretty much done for the year. Mine are still loading. Do we want to go to Jamie's UK dates? Do you have those?
There ain't jack shit.
Yeah. Okay. There, we do have some things in Japan, just a few. Digimon Survive is out on the Nintendo Switch this week in Japan. So you have that. And I think that's it. I'm looking at the PS4 real quick. Digimon Survive is there too. Ninja Jajamaru Collection and Shovel Knight gets a retail release in Japan. So that's what you have to look forward to this week. Okay, we have a few more stories for you guys, and then we will wrap it up. Loki.
All right. So I guess despite all of the bugs and everything with the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of Cyberpunk 2077, it is still selling like crazy. They hit 13 million in sales, even with the refunds factored into that as well. So it's doing pretty well. I mean, I guess the game is highly anticipated, so that probably counts for a lot of it. But it is good to see that it's doing well. Just wish it was released in a better state. But as Jamie had mentioned earlier, there was a new patch that was released this week. And with that, it fixed one of the bugs that was wiping save files. So apparently if your save file hit a certain limit, so 8 megabytes, and that could be from just having a large amount of crafting items in your inventory, apparently it was causing corruption and it would actually erase your progress. But the new apparently 1.06 hotfix claims that it will prevent that from rising, but it won't fix any of your saves that you had that were already affected by this bug. So yeah, and then on top of that, it also improves memory management and stability, which should result in fewer crashes. But we'll have to see. And it's only 15 gigabytes. So yay.
Is that all?
That's it, yeah.
I actually think part of the reason I decided to jump in and try to tell me why this week is because I was looking at, like, how much bandwidth have we used? Oh, we're only up to 600 gigs? Okay, we got a ways to go. I have some room. So I downloaded some games. It's sad that I have to, like, manage things on that level now, you know? But anyway.
Cheap Pie is just, he's out of office in, like, less than a month.
Can't wait. And yeah, so Cyberpunk, it's still selling pretty well. Now, of course, we don't know how many of those were bought and placed under a Christmas tree or equivalent sort of thing for the holidays. But we can assume that maybe not as many as the internet wants us to think are, like, you know, returns in waiting, so to speak. I think, too, this is probably one of those cases where the internet is making a lot more noise than the actual reality of people that are going to the trouble to return the game or maybe even can realize that they can do it. You know, I think there's probably a lot of people who are getting it for Christmas, et cetera, who don't even realize they can refund it if they wanted to.
Yeah, or just there's a lot of people that realize that, yeah, that sucks that the game is all broken right now, but I also have like 700, 800 games in my backlog, so I'll just put this in there with them and just come back to it when it's fixed.
Well, and then, of course, also PC seems to be the least... of the systems that's getting complaints. It's really about the older consoles, or I hate saying older consoles, but it's really what it is now, the PlayStation 4, Xbox One versions. Because again, we had that story a couple weeks ago about how Cyberpunk was shattering the Steam concurrent play records by like a lot. And I would imagine those people generally are having problem-free experience. Well, you know, they're having Bethesda bug-style experiences. They're not having, like, the, oh my god, this is broken type of stuff that the PlayStation 4, some of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One folks are experiencing. So.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, well, speaking of Steam, let's talk about Steam sales. Has anyone, now, and this is very much a no one special question of the week, but I think it's worth asking, but has anyone succumbed to the Steam sale or any type of digital sale going on? Well, you literally bought something during the show, right, Jamie?
I'm waiting for someone, though, to buy me Detroit because of presents.
Oh, I forgot that's even on PC. Okay.
Yeah, it's at the top of my Steam want list.
There you go. I haven't picked it up yet, but of course, the great enabler, my friend Shane, happened to mention to me, did you look at the sale on DJ Max? And I was like, I don't want to buy that again. I already bought it on PS4. Oh, it's down to $20 now. Now it's in the range where I might buy it again. So yeah, I haven't done it yet, but I probably will pull the trigger before the new year and buy myself DJ Max on Steam again. Loki, have you gotten suckered in any of those, sales yet?
Not really. Like, my son wanted me to buy him Gary's Mod, so I did that, but it wasn't on sale.
I actually accidentally hit something that played all through my speaker, so I didn't mean to scream into the mic.
Oh, you're fine. It didn't come through on our end, so.
I know, but it blew my ears out.
I'm looking at Fuser. It's down to $40, but yes, like, that's still a lot of money, man.
And I just noticed, like, two people in chat were asking about that too. Yeah, I have not played Fuser myself. That is one of those games where, again, Shane tried to enable me on that, which most music games he does, to be fair. And most of the time, I'm on board. It's just I already bought DJ Max on PlayStation 4. When it comes to Fuser, yeah, the $60 was a little high. Now that it's coming down, I might. I'm gonna see what my money. Well, I guess we're all getting $600, but let me see where my money's at in a couple. In a well, I gotta hurry up before the sale's
but
over.
But isn't that is in now is so. That $600 so like, is that like a loan from your tax refund type of thing?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it here. It's just to be determined from other places. Anyway. Oh, good point. Now, see, Pixel Pacas with some good, like, coupon clipping tips here. If you buy it on Epic, which I don't love supporting Epic right now because I really think they're in the wrong on the whole, Apple brouhaha. But a good deal is a good deal. And Pixel Pocket says, if you buy it on Epic with a $10 coupon, it's $10 cheaper than Steam. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
You make a good case, my friend. We'll leave it at that. You and Shane teamed up, it would be deadly.
I remember they get your free games. They have new games on the Epic Game Store every day now.
Yes.
For at least the foreseeable future.
That I have no problem taking advantage of.
Exactly.
I'm getting it for
I'm
free. Epic's paying somebody. That's not my problem. So, yeah, no, I have been stacking up on those games. That's for sure. So, all right. I asked my no one special question and then I didn't even get to the damn story. So let's talk about how Valve now has a filter, so you can better hunt for your discounts during the Steam sales, which, again, is one of those things I'm kind of surprised it wasn't there before. So this is good because now you're not overwhelmed with the fact that pretty much the entire store is on sale. So they have what's called faceted browsing. So you narrow down what you're looking for while you're looking for the sales. So you use categories like visuals, themes, mood, features, and you can, of course, combine these. It sounds a lot like tags on games. So, for example, if you tell Steam, I want to see third-person sci-fi games, well, then Steam will say, here you go, Dead Space 3 and Star Wars Battlefront. It sounds a lot like tabs, but it's not going to show every discounted game, but some of the more notable ones. So, interesting. And I'm sure, hey, any way that they can put the games you want to see in front of you? Because I will say, it is weird how Steam just kind of, I feel like it's throwing everything in the kitchen sink at me when I log into Steam and look at some of that stuff. So I think it's a good idea to highlight some of the big deals. And otherwise, sharing with friends and stuff is a good way to get the news around, because that's how I found out about, both Fuser and DigiMax going on sale. So. All right, let's move on to Dark Sakura.
Wait. There is a new game being announced, actually being developed by Arc System Works, and we know the awesomeness of Arc System for their fighting games. But they are doing a Dungeon Fighter fighting game, DNF Duel. So it's being published by, Neopel? And developed by Arc System Works and Aiding, they have announced the game. It's based in Unreal Engine as a spinoff off the RPG Dungeon Fighter Online. And so they haven't announced like platforms, no real release window, but it looks pretty freaking cool. I'm just saying, I love practically anything that Arc has done, and this one really seems to be no less impressive than any of their Guilty Gear or any of those games. So,
Dr. Tsuya in chat says, I used to play a ton of Dungeon Fighters, so an Arxis fighting game has me curious.
Yeah. If I will share the video in our chat room for those there, and for folks who are playing the home version of the game, look it up.
All right. One more story here from Loki, and then we'll open it up to the listener roundtable and check our mailbag. Loki.
It's a remaster that none of us have been waiting for, but it's still pretty cool. So it probably soon to be featured on Games Done Quick, but I Want to Be the Guy has a brand new remaster after 13 years. And so they said this, it's the mostly faithful remaster of the original I Want to Be the Guy. Trying to balance the spirit of the original game with the desire for a consistent physics like the fan games that came after, and fixing some of the jank. So it's available for free. Basically, what they did is converted the game from the original Multimedia Fusion 2 project to the U2 engine, which apparently is also referred to as I Want to Be the Engine. So kind of fun. They've been using that for a lot of the different fan games, which there are quite a few of. And apparently it is officially endorsed by the original creator as well, calling it the perfect package for anyone that wants to try the game out in 2020. So definitely go track it down. But yeah, pretty exciting, especially with it right around the corner.
Yeah.
Or probably being featured in. I know they have the fan game. I Want to Be the Fan Game is in Games Done Quick. So there's usually one or a few of these that are featured each year.
Nice. Good note to end on, because I know that game's come up quite a few times on the show. It's kind of cool to see a remaster after all these years, too. So,
yeah,
very cool. All right, well, that was our last slotted story for tonight. We will take a trip to the listener roundtable. If you guys have any questions or things you want to add in our chat room, now's a great time over twitch.tv/evognetwork. And I'll check in on emails in just a moment. But I want to address this roundtable question that already came in from No One Special, who's saying, What's the best game that came out this year is the easy go-to question, but I want to, what's the worst, basically? I'm going to hold on to that question, actually, No One Special, sorry, and just kind of instead tease next week, since I anticipate it'll be another slow news week with New Year's and everything, although anything can happen. Next week, we will talk about our favorite games of the year. You'll notice the wording I use there is not the best games of the year. It's our best games of the year. We will talk about that. And just for you, No One Special, we will talk about the worst as well. Although I honestly, nothing is jumping to the front of my mind, but I'm sure if I check my history of some things I've looked at, I'll find something where I was like, oh yeah, I didn't care for that. So we'll get into that. So I'm going to tease that for next week. We will do that. Something, and this was completely my bad. We never did do predictions this year, and that was my bad because I kept putting it off in January, and then it never happened. And then who could have?
I thought we did.
I thought we didn't. Did we?
I swear we did.
Well, I was going to say.
The Darth Vader tin. We it put is, stuff
no,
in
no,
there.
No, no, no. Okay, we did that this year. I thought we didn't do it this year.
No, we did, because the previous year I had stuck the ones from the previous year in there as well.
Well, my thought was it's going to have the previous year's stuff still in it, so I was going to open it anyway.
No. Yeah, right. It should have. Yeah.
All right. Well, then we'll open it and we'll see. Maybe I'll open it and I'll go, it's fucking nothing. But we'll see. SG100 Matt says we didn't. Yes, he's with me. I thought we skipped it, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe
I thought we did.
Yeah. Maybe you just fucking wrote it down and put it in there.
I didn't.
So anyway,
I would have.
We will open that up next week as well, and this time we will put predictions in next week. I don't know how I let it slip this year. I thought I let it slip, but maybe I didn't. But we will make sure we get back on track with that for next year. But I admit, it's funny because my brain is like, there's no way we could have fucking predicted what happened this year. No. It'll be interesting to see for next year. Because, you know, I'm thinking things like, did Dragon Con happen this year? Or did they put it off? Or did they do a smaller one? Those are some of the interesting questions I have right now. So we'll see. Anyway, next week. So best of, worst of, the rest of. And this gives us one more week of holiday time to play some games and just make sure, you know, the lists are where we want them to be. So we'll go over that next week. Anyway, emails. You guys send us emails every week? No, they don't. Not tonight. Well, let me give the address at least for next time. If you want to send us an email for use on a future show, participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us an email. We do keep an eye on the Twitter. I know I don't expressly read tweets here on the show. Sometimes I just respond to them. But you can tweet us at OLR. Is where you can find us on Twitter. And a lot of us use Twitter personally at this point. Darth Soccer is kind of on there full time now. So we're all on Twitter as well under our own accounts. I am at Mr. Rob Roberts because the spammer took Rob Roberts, but I'm Mr. Rob Roberts. Dark Soccer is at, you're just at Dark Soccer, right? You were able to get that
Sakura,
name.
Which I have had forever.
Yep. And then Loki is at Loki OLR, right?
Yep, and everything.
Although I will tell people 90% of what I talk about is still Supernatural fan wank. So just saying.
Mine is sassy, whatever. And I always say to myself, don't tweet anything political. Don't tweet anything political. And then I do it. I can't keep my mouth shut. I can't. I just, there's a lot to say.
It just happens.
It just happens. I just.
Like, oops, I politicked again.
Yeah. He will write something on his Twitter and then I can't help but write something nasty in response. I can't help myself.
You know, it's funny. Hmm. Okay. So first of all, I've never followed its Twitter because it is not a
of this
human
world
in my brain.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've just been referring to calling it the tyrant.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, I read a great idea somewhere that was, if you forgot, if you had one of those Christmas candy calendars that you can like pop out
Advent?
All the, is that what they call them?
They're called Advent calendars.
Okay. Yeah. And if you forgot to use that this year, if you start, I think it was today or yesterday, it can now be a countdown to the inauguration. So you can.
I'm down for that.
Oh,
that's
man.
Such a good idea.
I feel like I could have capitalized
See?
On that.
Dark, so Dark Sakura, you may not celebrate Christmas, but you can celebrate
I
that.
Do.
You kinda, I mean,
I
you
celebrate,
kinda do.
I celebrate Giftmas.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
By the way, Rob, and I know I tagged you in this, but Dan saw how disappointed I was that we couldn't have a gay Jumas.
Yeah.
And so he tried like four different places to try to get me Chinese food.
Oh.
And then last night, bless him, bless his heart in the positive Southern sense, he got me Chinese food.
Aww.
And I'm still eating it today.
There was a feature in the local paper about restaurants open on Christmas Day, and there seemed to be a lot more this year. But it wasn't stuff in suburbia where you and I are. It was stuff downtown. Like Bombay, the Indian place, apparently was open on Christmas. I never knew they were open on Ooh. Christmas. Apparently they're open every Christmas. I'm like, well, shit. That's what Dark Soccer and I need to change our tradition to Indian food then.
You know what? Hey, it's in Asia.
So, and then I think there's a lot of places downtown that are open on Christmas because a lot of restaurants need the business. It's really sad.
Oh, I
but
know.
It's true.
You know, it's so sad. I don't know. Just this whole thing just got me like, I did not have a good Christmas.
No,
Dan wasn't into it.
Neither did I. It feels like it didn't happen. I didn't go see my dad. I didn't see Alan's family. Like, it just feels like it didn't happen this year for me.
The other thing too is that, you know, Dan's mom died at the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
and you know, my dad died, and it just, neither of us were really in any kind of spirit for it, you know?
I hear you. I think that's okay. I think if Christmas for you was just a mental health decompression, I don't want to adult today kind of day, I think that's totally fine.
That was it. I didn't
that's
want
fine.
To think or There's exist. Nothing. I mean, and by exist as like, I didn't want to participate
I get what
in
you mean. Yeah.
Living.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I know. You're not saying it in an alarming way. You're saying it in a today I don't exist to anyone but me. You
that
know, I get it.
It's like,
yeah.
It was just like I took myself out of the equation.
Yeah, I'm a ghost today. You don't see me. This sheet over my body, this blanket, means you don't see
I'm
me.
I'm John Cena. You can't see me. Da 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 da.
So anyway.
I actually, you want to know what's funny?
Hmm.
I'm working on Supernatural fan fiction.
Right. You tweet about it a lot.
Right. I put out, published 25 chapters in a month.
Dang. That's good.
And I wrote 3 chapters and published them in 3 days.
Nice.
And I have another one written that I haven't published, and I'm almost done with another.
Busy, busy.
Yeah, but that's how little I've wanted to participate in the real world right now.
But I understand. You got to do what you got to do. I've been,
yeah.
I've honestly been losing myself in work, but in a good way. Like, I yeah. literally enjoy the thing. I get to work on creative projects and stuff. So I've just been kind of like going in that. And I'm just like, I am happy with this. The only thing
uh-huh.
is some of the toys that I get to use at work. I'm like, God, I wish I had this for OLR because I have access to Creative Cloud. I have all of Adobe stuff. So I'm like, I want
Guess who
this.
Also has access to Creative Cloud?
Oh, do you? Do you have it for yourself? I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I still do freelance.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
So if you ever need to use, I can't have it installed on your computer, but you can come over and use Premiere or anything. Yeah. So,
I use Lightroom,
which
is kind of...
And by the way,
kinda,
back to my fanfic thing.
Yeah.
If you want it, message me on Twitter at Dark Sakura, and I will provide you with a link.
Sounds good. All right. Well, I guess we're getting to that wrap up time here at the show. So I want to thank everybody for checking out our show tonight, whether you were here live or you are participating on the podcast feed. Thank you so much for listening to our show. A nice word about the show, word of mouth goes a long way. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But without the voices here, we've got nothing to say. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it's really you guys that have kept us going for 18 and a half years throughout all of this and this craziness. We don't ask for your money, but if you do feel so inclined to support the show in that kind of way, it is very helpful and helps us to maintain the business side of things. So a big thank you for the bits and the subs. I'll acknowledge those after the program, but I also want to say a quick shout out to the online store. So if you want to check out some online merch, go to vognetwork.com/shop and you can check out some t-shirts and some stickers so you can make anything in OLR piece of merchandise, but make sure you have permission. Don't go sticking it on archaic phone booths and things like that. That's vandalism. But you can get stickers and there will be more to come in the new year. We're going to try to slowly trickle out some things there on the shop. So appreciate all the support there as well. Otherwise, I think that does it. And it's time to get everybody's final thoughts. The last final thoughts of 2020. The next time we come to you, 2021. Sadly, New Year's Day is not going to magically fix all of our problems. But we see the light.
The real year starts on January 24th.
And 26th, even more probably. So when I can get the jab, quite frankly. 6 weeks after I get the jab, quite frankly. But we'll be there's lots to look forward to in 2021, and we'll put it at that. So let's get everybody's final thoughts for the night. Loki, I'll start with you.
I'm just going to continue working on my game. Hopefully make progress, more progress than I did.
Release it in 2021.
It will definitely be released in 2021.
Good. I owe you a pizza.
And probably January. I'd say most likely January. I just don't want to rush through green levels, but
you don't rush.
Like
it.
I just want to get the animated tiles will look awesome. Just saying.
I know the listeners are going to yell at me, but seriously, if Cyberpunk has taught us anything, if you need till February, take till February. You know, take.
I can't patch a cartridge.
Exactly.
Because so, you know.
You've got people that now this is becoming more than I'll download it and play it. This is becoming I want the collector's edition from Loki. So you got to get it right, buddy.
Well, I got to get suppliers for that stuff anyway. So that may take time.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So let's move on to I'll go. My final thought. I don't have a lot because I think I already kind of gushed earlier in the show. But again, just a big thank you to everybody who supported us throughout this crazy year. And I look forward to 2021 and the hopefulness that 2021 brings and the renewed sense of I'm going to have a list of things I want to do, and now I'm going to do them. Because if 2020 taught me anything, it's that one day I might not. So I'm going to do my damnedest to try to get them done in 2021 when it's safe to do so. Dark Sakura, your final thought.
I don't know. If you can be anything, be kind. And if you can't be kind, be Batman.
Working on it. Have a great week, everybody. Happy New Year. Be safe. I mean, I shouldn't tell you things like don't drink and drive because you shouldn't be going to parties where there's drinking anyway. But make good choices. We'll leave it at that. Have a great week. There is still a pandemic. You wishing it away doesn't change it. So make good choices. And let's be here to party when we all get vaccinated in 2021. Have a great week, everybody. Good night. Happy gaming.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.